If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, blow me. First of all, and second of all, blow me.
Oh, we're recording?
Well, that's the price you pay when you think with your penis.
Hey, it's all about ratings, baby, and we got them.
Hey, Kevin and Bean is Dow Doe. Doe Toe. Kevin and Bean, I just don't know what the hell to tell you guys, man. I just got back from a damn buffet, and I went to Toy Dye Buffet. You know how much they charge me? About $25, Kevin Bean. But I make plenty of money, so I can afford any food, but at least I'm pretty good at... I'm trying to watch my weight, Kevin Bean. I'm almost freaking about 220. I really need to get down to 190. So at least I just got back from this buffet, man. So Kevin Bean, I really want to make it in the entertainment industry, so I guess I know what I'm doing. I know what the hell I heck to do, so... Yeah, my stomach, man, it's just really killing me. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
And now, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow. Our feature presentation.
How dare you? That's the high point of our show when we talk to Doto, Bobto, whatever his name is.
I think just Doto.
Doe, okay.
He didn't seem very committed to the name change the last time we saw him.
Well, that is true. First he called it, he was all on fire, and then we said, are you serious? And he said, absolutely, I think it'll give me more gigs. It's a more American name, Bob.
Right.
And then last time we tried to call him Bob a couple times, it seemed like he was quite uncomfortable with it. So
I think he's back to Doe.
You might be right, unfortunately. Dude, I was in Indio for about 8 hours last night. No rage against the machine. And I was thinking, this is so great. They're actually getting back together. I was so excited. As a matter of fact, I got there on Saturday and spent the night. I didn't see anyone else. But then I was waiting Sunday for Rage Against the Machine and no show.
You may
How
have
disappointing.
Gone,
no show.
You may have gone too early because the concerts aren't until April. The end of April.
Whoa.
Yes, you were very months early is what you were.
Very months early?
Yes.
Morning, everybody. It's Kevin Abicho. It's Monday. It is the 29th of January. Lisa Bain has jury duty.
Mother effer.
To rob it into Bean, who's always wanted jury duty and can't get it. You know what's funny about that is that... we have a lot of different people listening to this radio station. A lot of different, you know, you got lawyers. Well, there's no lawyers, let's be honest. You got, just all kinds of different people represented. And usually if we mention something like that, somebody will know someone that can make something happen. Mm-hmm. And Bean's been talking about getting on a jury for 15 years.
Yeah.
And no one cares. And there's no one out there that wants to change that by any stretch of the imagination, even if they were to call up to Seattle or whatever. It's just you don't have any peers. It has to be a jury of your peers. And you're a peer to no one.
You know, I was having this conversation with my wife last night about the jury duty. And she reminded me that she got several jury summons when we were living in California and just threw them away. Didn't even go. I said, why didn't you go just to burn me, just to rub it into me? And she's like, who wants to go to jury duty? She wouldn't even go.
Speaking of which, that is not the way to treat America. To throw away your jury summons.
Isn't that what you do?
That's unpatriotic.
Isn't that how you handle them?
Yeah, that's the height of unpatriotic. What?
But I thought that's what you do. Don't you throw yours away?
Did, till I got caught. Now I go.
Well, it's a responsibility.
It's funny, it was the first time I ever had jury duty, and you go to this giant room where there are, 125 people, and you just sit there and wait, and then they start calling people to try and, put together a jury for this trial and that trial. So you get there at 8 or whatever, and then at 9:30 they say, okay, we need the following people, and then name about 30 people, so they all get up and walk out. And then it's, 10. All right, we need to follow him. And then they name a bunch of people. And another bunch of people more leave. And it's getting smaller, bigger, big room, smaller and smaller crowd. Got down to I think I was one of the final 3 or 4.
Wow.
People that had not been called to even try to get on a jury.
Well, there's a name for those people, those last people called. They're called the dregs.
Yeah, exactly. And they actually let us go. Early, we weren't supposed to leave till 3 or 3:30 or something. They said we're not going to do any more trials today, so you might as well leave. You know, it was after lunch at like 1:30, and they said, "Congratulations, that's your jury duty. That's your service for another year." I was like, "Yes."
And you were a little bit ticked that you didn't get picked, though. I bet.
Well, I wanted once you go down there, you're taking off work, you're using your whole day. You might as well get on a jury and vote guilty. You know,
Well, maybe they voted guilty with a little camera in that waiting room, and they looked around and said, all right, who's not going to be on a jury today? Ooh, look at that guy. Whoa, what that head is going to be distracting.
If I remember correctly,
to concentrate.
If I remember correctly, too, Kevin, weren't you down to like three people, and one of them was Jason Schwartzman?
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was in the same room, yeah. Yeah, but I can tell you this for a fact. One of the guys that's running the jury room that helps pick the jurors had heard me talking about it and knew that it was me. And so I can't help but think that I didn't get chosen for a jury on purpose.
Because you advertised that you could tell if somebody was guilty just by looking
at them. Just first glance, guilty.
Yeah.
I can tell.
Sure. Well, Lisa May in her email to us yesterday telling us she had jury duty already told us she's voting guilty. So if anyone out there is involved in the selection process and you need a guilty vote, go with the hot redhead.
She's your girl.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I think we have Natalie Page. Is that
right? That's right. Hi, guys.
Hey, Natalie. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very good.
So when did you find out the bad news? Just yesterday, Natalie?
Yesterday, yeah. I got a call yesterday.
What's that call like when they say, tomorrow morning, Kevin and Bean show, you know that thing at 5:30?
I'm like, you know what? I'm not even sleeping tonight, so whatever. Oh, it's all good.
That's sad.
You didn't stay up all night, did you?
What was that?
Did you stay up all night?
No, I had about 3 hours of sleep.
Oh, that's all good then.
Yeah, hey, we're good.
Mm-hmm. Natalie, have you been on a jury?
You know what's funny about this is 2 weeks ago I got called in to go, but I actually didn't. Like, you call the night before, I guess, which is the reason why it was such late notice.
Right.
And I never got called in at all for the whole week, so.
Right, so you can call the night before. They can tell you if they're not going to need you the next day.
Right.
And you don't have to go. And Lisa, I think, had that same deal where she called and then they told her, yes, we do need you.
Exactly. So it's like a recorded message or something.
So does that count as your service now? You're done for another year or so?
Yeah.
Wow. But don't you have to call every night for a week or so?
Yeah, you call every night. And then the last day of the calling or whatever, they tell you, okay, now that you're done, you have to sign the paper and send it in so we know basically that you've been calling.
I got you.
So.
I got you.
There you go.
Plus, you got the whole distractingly hot thing for being on a jury, so that's why. Not her. Forget it. She'll just be distracting in the courtroom.
Whatever.
It's my giant head and your devastating good looks.
Exactly.
All right. 5:37. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we? We have Bam Margera on the program today.
What's he doing? Why? Well, I mean, I guess everybody gets married eventually, but Bam just seems like a guy who has too much to lose from being single because he's got such an awesome single life. And B, who would want to be married to Bam Margera? It's like a lose-lose.
Have you seen the promos for the show Unholy Union?
I heard you talking about it. It sounds terrible.
No, it sounds awesome.
In a good way, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you like Wild Boys and those different shows that they do, I mean, this poor girl, she finally finds the wedding dress of her dreams, and they take it out and paintball it and run over with a truck and spit on it. And
who wants to marry into that life? How can that be the goal?
And then they give it to her. That's good times. And then Bam takes the guest list. It's like 300 people long. It's her master list. It's the main one. And he thinks it's too many people, so he throws it in the fire. I mean, it just looks miserable for that poor girl, but for everybody else, they're having a great time. So we're going to talk to Bam today. Bam, what do you think about giving up the single life?
It was okay with me because I made my engagement ring out of Ryan Dunn's colon.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. So that's coming up this morning. Plus, we're going to talk to a super hot girl. You can see her picture at krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page. Her name is Sarah Spain.
Sorry.
You're not going to start that too now, are you?
I don't know. When I think of Sarah Spain's photos, it's hard not to.
She is auctioning herself off on eBay to be a date for the Super Bowl. She's a Chicago Bears fan. The Bears are going to the Super Bowl on Sunday. And she has put herself up on eBay as a date to go with you if you have an extra Super Bowl ticket. Now, the difference here is, like Bean said, it's most of the time these people are just hardcore fans. This is a hardcore fan that also happens to be smoking hot. And again, you can see her picture on our website. And we're going to talk to her today because I'm going to the Super Bowl. And every year it's like one of the things I look forward to all year long. And I'm going with a friend. And if she's hot enough and she says the right things, friend's out.
Well, clearly. I hope he understands that. I mean, you have no choice.
Well, I wrote to him and I said, I hope you understand that if blah, 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 then, you know, you're just going to have to enjoy Miami. He said, no worries.
I want to make sure people understand because there is a twist to this story with Miss Spain, and that is she's not trying to buy a Super Bowl ticket.
Right.
Okay? She wants you to pay her so that she can use the ticket you already have or are willing to buy for her.
So you can sit next to her at the game.
Yeah, basically, you're paying, you know, somebody will be paying hundreds of dollars or whatever it turns out to be, plus whatever the cost of the ticket was, just to sit next to a hot chick who's promising you nothing in return.
What?
That's how hot she is.
She's promising nothing in return?
Yes, she's promising just to go to the game and sit with you. That's it.
She doesn't go to Miami with you?
She already has airfare. She already has hotels. She just doesn't have a ticket to the game. I'm not saying you couldn't talk her into going out to dinner or something, but I'm saying there's nothing else implied, if you get my meaning,
The
ticket.
You know my charm. Sky's the limit.
Also
on today's show, we got LaQuisha talking about trading spouses on Friday night with our favorite God warrior, Marguerite Perrin.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. And they're trying to talk people in New Jersey out of eating squirrels because they've got radioactive lead poisoning or some kind of problem. They actually eat too many squirrels and they're running into trouble. So we'll get into that. And we've got K-Rock's World Tour 2007 Destination number 5. We have that announcement coming up at 7:15 this morning on the world famous K-Rock. And Ralph Showbiz Beat is next.
And now, a moment with Bean.
And what do you suppose Paula Abdul's distinguishable body deal is?
That was a moment with Bean.
Alcoholism? That's my guess. 5:49 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Yes, destination number 5 of K-Rock's World Tour 2007 will be announced at 7:15 this morning. And if it works the way it has been working so far in this year, we start giving away tickets and qualifying you for a great city somewhere in the world to see a great K-Rock band. So that'll be coming up later this morning on K-Rock.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies this weekend. According to Variety Magazine, Epic Movie, number 1 at the box office this weekend. In its debut, made $19.2 million.
Wow.
It's a lot of Kevin's people going to see a movie right
now.
Yeah,
there. And I didn't even go. I went to that other one. Who did we talk to on
Smoking Aces?
Yeah, Smoking Aces.
That was number 2 at the box office, made $14.2 million in its debut. Good enough for the number 2 slot. Night at the Museum, still strong at number 3. Then Catch and Release, the new Jennifer Garner movie, made about $8 million in its opening weekend, made it number 4. Stomp the Yard was 5. Dreamgirls was 6. Pursuit of Happiness turned it at number 7. Pan's Labyrinth was 8. The Queen, number 9. And The Hitcher rounds out your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
How was Smokin' Aces, by the way? I did see some reviews after our show Friday, and it was not well received by some.
To use a baseball metaphor, to me, it seemed like it could have been a home run, should have been a home run, but was kind of a double, and he had to heads first into second base to even make it. You know what I mean?
Clears it up for me. Now I know exactly what to expect when I go to the theater.
It felt like it was going to be great, and it was good, but it didn't live up to what it could have.
It struggled.
Yeah.
At what point did you realize it was a pop fly? Was the sun in your eyes?
The sun was in my eyes, but I had those slip-down glasses.
Right, so
I was okay.
So then you realized it was a fielder's choice at what portion
it bounced
of the film.
Over the wall.
I see.
And then he got a
so
double.
So it was an in-the-park sort of
but
ground
he still
rule
had
double.
To dive into second base.
Ah, yeah, that's what I understand. If it bounced over the wall, you don't really have
let's
to
let's use another sport. Let's say you're in basketball.
Let's just move on, shall we?
I think so.
Last night were the Screen Actors Guild Awards, my favorite award ceremony of the year because it's just like all the others without all the BS awards. Without writing and directing and all, and costume and sound and all that crap.
Right.
You just get the actors up there making speeches. With very few exceptions, it was the same winners as the Golden Globes. The week previous, Forrest Whitaker once again won for Best Actor in a Film, Last King of Scotland. Helen Mirren won for Best Actress for her portrayal of the Queen, Queen Elizabeth and the Queen. Eddie Murphy won again for Supporting Actor for Dreamgirls. Jennifer Hudson did the same thing for Supporting Actress. This time, though, instead of Babel winning Best Film, Little Miss Sunshine went for Best Ensemble Cast in a Motion Picture.
Great.
It was great to see them pick that up. For television, Best Actor in a Miniseries, Jeremy Irons won for Elizabeth I. Same deal for Helen Mirren. She won Best Actress in a Miniseries for Elizabeth I. Hugh Laurie, my boy, won for Best Actor in a Drama. Best Actress in a Drama Series went to Chandra Wilson for Grey's Anatomy. Best Actor in a Comedy Series, Alec Baldwin for 30 Rock. Actress in a Comedy Series, America Ferrera for Ugly Betty. And the cast for a drama was Grey's Anatomy. Cast for a comedy was The Office.
What about
what the hell are they doing?
The Stomp in the Yard. Where are you from?
Next year that'll be up.
That'll be all. That'll get all of them
for
next
best
year.
Stomping by a cast. They have a special award just for them. Lindsay Lohan keeps her appendix in her freezer.
What?
According to the website Female First, she reportedly keeps her newly removed appendix in her freezer. because she was worried it would end up being sold on eBay if it was left behind at the hospital. Paranoid?
Wow.
She asked the hospital staff if she could take it home, according to this story. A friend says that a friend wants her to auction it off herself for charity, but so far she hasn't decided what she's going to do with the appendix. She keeps it right in there next to her millipede. And her donkey's balls.
Yes, that's what she
said. You know, eBay has a policy against allowing body parts to be auctioned off.
Well, so then what was she worried about?
I mean, somebody could put it up there, but they'd take it down.
Are we sweeping under the rug all of those doubts that we had about her having that surgery didn't make sense on about 10 different levels all of a sudden?
I still think she's making it up. I think she's continuing to lie to cover her tracks.
Well, when I say appendix, of course, I mean fetus.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Meanwhile, people who are sharing time with Lindsay Lohan at the Wonderland Rehab Center are upset about how she's receiving special treatment.
Oh, good. They're speaking out.
They're starting to get a little cranky. Understandably, this is not a lockdown facility. People are allowed to go out during the day, but traditionally it has been for AA meetings and doctor's appointments.
Right.
Not lunch dates and shopping. And they're feeling that she gets to come and go as she pleases, and that's not the way the rest of the members of the community are being treated there at Wonderland.
I saw pictures of her over the weekend, Ralph. I think I saw this right. Taking her Mercedes in to get some work done.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the rehab that she's
doing. Well,
the
Mercedes is, not going to take itself.
Doesn't she have people?
Oh, that's right.
She's got to have people. Apparently, they're also upset that her team of experts stops by the facility all the time, including her makeup artist, her hairstylist, and most importantly, her masseur.
Wow.
That's not the treatment everyone else at the facility is getting.
No. That's not treatment.
Yeah.
By the way.
It's a spa treatment. Yeah, it's just not rehab treatment.
The hotel.
And sad news. Misha Barton kept the crowd waiting at her 21st birthday party on Thursday night because she experienced a death in her family. Her dog, Bean, passed away.
B-E-A-N?
B-E-A-N. Her dog, Bean, passed away. I know. Dog's dead and this one's still alive.
The wrong one.
New York Post says that she was still able to relax and have a good time despite the circumstances because it's a dog. That's why.
Ralph, you can be pretty upset over losing a pet. You know that, right? I mean, I know you're joking and all, but seriously.
No, seriously.
Seriously, though.
You going to cancel your birthday party because your dog dies?
Yep.
I think you might not feel like partying if your dog dies, yeah.
Yeah, the pet parent in the back, Mike's like, yeah, absolutely.
Mike's the worst.
No way I'd be able to live with Lola. Without Lola, I'd kill myself.
He's the worst out of all of us.
I'm not saying you don't live, but I'm saying if it happens that day, yeah, you don't really feel like partying. That's all.
Suck it up, people.
Giving her the benefit of the doubt here.
Corn's sake. By the way, Kevin and I are going to put a hit out on Lola. We've decided.
We sat down on Friday.
If you know how to murder a dog, please contact either Kevin or myself.
Has to be untraceable.
We need your services. Ooh, untraceable. Did I just blow up by saying it out loud on the radio?
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Didn't help.
They could probably trace that back to us, couldn't they?
Didn't help.
Use that in court. And Grey's Anatomy actor T.R. Knight is so distressed over the Isaiah Washington gay slur incident that, according to MSNBC, he is leaving Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, really? Of his own free will?
No, this is the actor T.R. Knight, the one that was called the gay slur.
Oh, I thought it was the other guy that was
so fired. He's so upset by Isaiah Washington, the guy who said the words. By the whole incident and on the fact that it outed him, that he finds it hard to show up for work now.
I see.
It's so distressed.
Is this a move to try and get the other guy fired, maybe?
I don't know. An insider told MSNBC that T.R. Knight is so upset about the situation and so disgusted by how it was all handled by the producers and by ABC that he's at an asshole and he's going to go. No pun intended. No pun intended.
Oh.
Well, maybe a little pun intended. Today's celebrity birthday is Tom Selleck. You know him, you love him, as Magnum P.I., bitch. Oh, I loved him.
I didn't watch that show.
The Detroit Tigers baseball cap all the time. Hawaiian shirts, khaki shorts.
That's what you like about the
show? In the Ferrari. Just spinning wheels, tearing up the front lawn. Higgins would get all upset. Magnum, stop tearing up the front lawn.
Who's Higgins, the butler?
Yes. Yeah. Come on, Kevin.
Sorry.
I didn't see that show either, but I thought he was good on Friends. Had that recurring role as the dentist on Friends for all those years.
You go to the dentist on Friends with Tom Selleck.
I'm just saying.
That's his reference point.
How dare you? You know, Tom Selleck lost out on the role of Indiana Jones.
He did.
Yeah, because he was contractually tied up with Magnum at the time. Couldn't get the time off to do it.
That sucks.
That sucks. Doesn't that kind of suck? Oprah Winfrey celebrates her birthday today. Beelzebub is 53.
But we'll live forever.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Ed Burns actor from Saving Private Ryan, many other feature films, is 39. And Heather Graham, who, of course, was Roller Girl in Boogie Nights. She was very funny in the Steve Martin, Eddie Murphy comedy called Bowfinger.
Yeah.
I just avoided some emails there, didn't I? Very talented, beautiful young actress.
Right, let's turn our attention to something that's a little more fun. Ladies and gentlemen, time to speak to Miss Double December.
Here she comes, she's our Miss Double December.
Nice melon.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
That's right, they're breasts.
She's got big guns, baby, she's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my penis is hard.
Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning.
How are you?
Everybody today?
We are very good. How are you?
Oh, we miss you, Lauren. We haven't seen you since Acoustic Christmas. How have you been?
I know. I've been good. I turned 25. You guys missed my party.
We didn't get invited to your party.
Thanks for the invitation.
That's a lie.
You did not invite us to your party.
Yes, I did. I told Lightning about it.
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
Lauren, you haven't been with us long enough to know that Lightning is a sieve when it comes to information. You tell him something, it's like shouting in the desert.
Osama bin Laden could tell him when the next attack is, and it wouldn't go anywhere. You know? Well, I mean,
it was a lot of fun. Lauren.
So you're 25 years old. How was your Christmas? How was your New Year's?
Great. New Year's was great. I had a really good time with my friends. So.
Yeah, your friends?
Yeah.
The number, not us, apparently.
Yeah,
all right, listen,
no kidding.
We wanted to run some things by you because we've been seeing a bunch of stories in the news, and we want to make sure that there's clarity between us, that you understand what we expect of our Miss Double December. I'm sure you saw the Miss USA Tara Conner thing, right? She was the one who was drinking, and Donald Trump said, I'll give you another chance, go to rehab, and then Rosie went crazy because Donald Trump gave her another opportunity. She went to rehab, and now she's still Miss USA, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Poor girl.
We would like you to know that drinking in no way is a negative on your title.
Thank God.
Of Miss Double December. That we actually would encourage you to drink heavily.
Yeah, they come down on Miss USA, and we say party on, girlfriend. That's what we say, all right? So if you're into a situation where you think, I shouldn't really drink this extra drink and jump up on the bar and flash because I missed Double December, we want you to just go for it, okay?
Awesome.
We don't want these stories to scare you off. Then there was Miss Nevada, Katie Reese, and she was drunk one night and took a bunch of photos that are up at TMZ.com where she's showing her panties and her thong and her ass, and she's kissing another girl, and she's kissing another girl's breasts. They're spectacular pictures. And by the way, she's Miss Nevada.
Yes.
And she had to step down. She had to step down, Lauren. And we would especially like you to understand that that kind of behavior is what we expect every time you go out. Not just never, but every time.
It's not just acceptable, it's encouraged. No, it's not just encouraged, it's mandatory.
Exactly. Just so that we're all clear. Everything is fine so far. Until we come to Miss New Jersey. Now, Miss New Jersey, Ashley Harder, oddly enough is her name, she got pregnant. So she's going to have to step down as Miss Nevada, New Jersey, because you're not allowed to do that when you're pregnant.
Right.
We'd like to vote against pregnancy on your behalf, if you don't mind.
So as you told me before.
Drinking, good. Making out with other girls, even better. Flashing, even better.
What if I drink, make out with girls while pregnant?
Well, again, it's the pregnancy. We've been down the road before with Miss Double December getting knocked up. And it's just no fun for the kids when they show up and Miss Double D is on maternity leave. You know what I mean?
Imagine how much bigger my boobs would be if I was pregnant.
That's true, but.
Wow, that's true.
That is true. That would be spectacular, but so would your stomach. And we actually, Bean's not joking, we actually had a Miss Double December who ended up getting pregnant, and we had to, have her killed. So don't do that. Do everything else, but don't do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, a couple other quick things. If you're just joining us, Lauren is on the line. She is Miss Double December 2007. A couple things we needed to run by you. First of all, I don't know if you've heard, we haven't talked about it a lot on the air, Lauren, but we are planning a drink boxing event that we think is going to be on March 16th. This is going to be our own Ralph Garman versus Dave the King of Mexico. It's a fight, a Mexican and a white. We don't have a real name for it yet.
I don't think that's the name yet.
I don't think that's the name yet. But they're going to be drink boxing, and we want to make sure, Lauren, that you are going to be available to come join us and be a ring girl for us for the boxing match.
That's a weekday, right?
It's a Friday morning,
it's a Friday morning. March,
yes.
That's what we want to give you plenty of notice so you can try to make it. March 16th is the date. Is that something you can work on?
I think I will definitely be there.
All right, because that's the Friday. That's the day before St. Patrick's Day. That's how we came up with the new sport of drink boxing. You drink, you do some shots, then you box, then you do some shots, then you box. So that's what we're going to be doing on March 16th. We're trying to give you enough notice so that you can get off schedule or whatever you need to do so you can be there and be a ring girl.
Lauren asked what day of the week it is because she's a working Miss Double December. She actually has a job, and I think it's okay to say this. She actually works in, she's a makeup artist. And are you doing some sort of porn today, or what are you doing, Lauren? What do we hear about?
I'm working for an online publication called HotBody.com.
Hot what?
And they're having a hot body, bowling battle.
They're having a hot body naked bowling battle.
Really?
Naked bowling battle. And are they really going to be like counting pins? Is that how you win, or is just how you look?
There's two teams. There's five girls. The teams are called something like Hot Body Girls Gone Postal.
Right.
And Hot Body Juicy Burger Babes.
Oh my God. And they're really going to be naked and bowling.
Yeah.
You want to be known as a juicy burger babe?
No.
That doesn't sound sexy. So Lauren, it's kind of like softcore porn, right? It's not hardcore. There's no sex going on.
No, not at all.
So just naked pictures. Bowling.
Exactly.
What a great job you have. And what's the bowling alley and what time?
Yeah.
Lauren, when you're doing makeup for totally naked people, do you touch up their whole bodies, or are you still just doing like hair and makeup for faces and stuff?
Oh, no, just beauty makeup, just face.
How about that?
But if they're naked, there's a lot of other parts that are beauty.
I know.
Know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know.
Have you done this thing before, this kind of thing?
Twice before.
Fantastic. I can't believe they're not begging you to put on some bowling shoes. Put down the makeup brush and get over here and bowl, girl.
No kidding. You're looking over there at the makeup girl going, boy, I wish she was out here.
Seriously.
So 10 naked chicks bowling. That's your day today.
Yes, my day today.
All right, well, you win. I'm sitting in a room with Psycho Mike and Bean. You win.
Exactly. Well, listen, Lauren, I know we haven't seen you since the holidays, and we just want to let you know we are thinking about you, and we do have stuff coming up, so we look forward to spending some more time with you in 2007 because you are the reigning Miss Double D, and it's always great to catch up with you, sweetheart.
Awesome.
All right, thank you.
Good talking to you guys.
Talk to you soon. Bye now.
I have not been able to listen to the Kevin and Bean Show since Lauren mentioned hotbody.com, my new favorite website in the world, by the way.
Is that right?
I'll get back to you tomorrow.
Okay, excellent.
I'm busy the rest of the day.
Ralph did a story last week on the best action stars in the world, as voted on by a survey. And Sean Connery was number 3 on that list. So we thought this morning maybe it's another chance. It's been a little while since we talked to Sean. So we're going to bring him onto the show. Good morning, Sean. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What the f***?
Sean,
look, wake me up in the morning.
Are you ever in a good mood?
Can we ever talk in the afternoon or the early evening after I've had a few cocktails?
Well, we don't do a show in the afternoon or evening.
Why the not?
That's a good question.
Well, is this show for dairy farmers? Who's listening at this time of the day?
We don't know.
Mr. Connery, we thought you wouldn't mind hearing from us again because, once again, it has proved how beloved you are by this new poll that came out about the greatest action heroes of all time. We thought you'd be very happy to be included on the list.
Oh, is that what you thought?
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought you'd be happy if I stuck my in your ear.
Okay, oh, jeez. Mr. Connery, please watch the language. If you could just do that for us, we'll try to call later next time.
You could watch the stool dripping out of my I'd appreciate that.
Oh, my God. Sean, you have to be happy, though, about the fact that you were voted the third best action hero of all time.
Third?
Yeah.
That's it?
That's pretty good.
Who were the other two?
Well, number 2 was Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Terminator. And Harrison...
Army building, sucker.
And Harrison...
Oh, look at my muscles now. Me right up there.
Okay, listen. Oh. We're on the radio, Sean. You have to watch your language.
Oh, sorry.
And the number 1 best action hero in Hollywood for his role in Indiana Jones was Harrison Ford.
That stroke victim.
But then you came in 3rd.
That guy couldn't act his way out of a paper bag.
Right.
Well,
I was opposite him. I stole that movie from him.
Well, that was a long time ago, though.
He acts like he's in a coma.
But you have to admit, though, when you go back and watch those Indiana Jones movies and, of course, the Star Wars movies, too, I mean, there was a time where he was a terrific action hero.
Yeah, there was a time when I used to shoot buckets of Oh, Sean. Like a teaspoon.
We don't need to hear about that. Come on.
You did beat in fourth place Die Hard with Bruce Willis. You beat him.
Oh, of course I did.
And in fifth place, you beat Superman star Christopher Reeve. So, I mean.
Oh, did I? I beat a dead man.
Well, not when he was.
Congratulations to me.
Not when he was dead, when he was alive and acting. When he was playing Superman.
When did this list come out?
Oh, for God's sake.
Just last week. The list just came out.
He is dead. That's true.
Oh, but great. Sean, I'm better than a dead action hero. I'm more exciting than dead guy. Even when he was alive, he was on wheels.
That was after his accident.
This list sucks.
Oh, Sean, for God's sake.
I do you too.
Okay. Mr. Cottery, I got to ask, though, because you're saying all this stuff about Harrison Ford, number one on the Indiana Jones movies, but aren't you going to be acting with him again? Aren't they making a fourth movie and you two are going to be working together again soon, like maybe this year?
We've been talking about it.
Yeah?
Yeah?
But I haven't decided whether I'm actually going to do it or not.
How come?
Well, Harrison so far hasn't stuck his tongue far enough up my
Oh, is that what it takes?
Oh, wow.
If he wants to get me out, he's going to come over and kiss my white Scottish
Yeah, I don't see him really doing that. I don't think he can bend at this
Maybe
point.
Just tongue my just a
Come
week.
On!
Just take the Scottish tea bag.
Okay. All right.
Well, that sounds like fun. Good luck with that, Sean.
Does it sound like fun, you
Mocking Bean in the best way she knows how, Lisa May is on jury duty today.
Oh, piss me off. Can't believe it.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
Hello, Ralph? Ralph?
Yeah. Hello. Checking.
There
Hello.
You go. That's
there
much
go.
Better.
Hello.
What are you doing down there with the microphones today, Cycle Mike? What's the problem
I got
problem
no microphones.
Here?
I got no sound effects. It's like it's a brand new world we live in.
It would take longer to explain what just happened than is necessary.
Did they rebuild the switches and buttons
Oh, no, that was all
while
us.
Gone over the weekend?
No, that was all us. That was...
Maybe they move stuff around on you. No, sometimes that happens.
A little bit, but
all right.
That was all us.
Top 10 movies at the box office this week, an epic movie. The spoof of epic movies. $19.2 million it made at the box office this weekend. That makes it number one. Smokin' Aces with Jeremy Piven et al. Came in at number two. Night at the Museum was third. Then Catch and Release. Stomp the Yard. You gotta say it like that. Stomp the Yard.
Where are you from?
Dreamgirls, Pursuit of Happiness, Pan's Labyrinth, The Queen, and The Hitcher. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office, according to Variety magazine. Sad news for Angelina Jolie. She was reportedly at her mother's side this Saturday when her mother, Marceline Bertrand, passed away from cancer. Saturday afternoon at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles. Brad Pitt was also there. CNN says that her mother had been fighting cancer for 6 years, and Angelina was happy to be with her mom when she passed. She could have been any number of places around the world.
No kidding.
So... I guess that worked out as good as it possibly could have.
If it were her dad who were dying and sick, she probably wouldn't have been there, huh?
I'd like to think that she would, but you might be right. John Voight, of course, her father. Right. Hillary Duff has announced that she's got a new CD on the way.
Woo!
The Duff!
Yeah?
The new project is called Dignity. And she says this CD is so personal. It talks about so many experiences I've had. Good ones. And bad ones. And dignity is something I always hope to have and strive to have. The new single, Giant Chiclet Teeth, will be dropping anytime soon. So look for that at a CD store near you.
Dignity.
Ralph used to love her so much, and then something happened to her teeth, and now he's off her.
It changed her entire appearance so much.
I heard she changed back. I heard she had another...
She had a teethoplasty?
I think. That's what I heard, yeah.
She sure could use it, because she's got giant chompers
that are
vaguely disturbing.
That isn't good for you.
In a vagina dentata kind of way. You know what I'm saying? Jennifer Aniston is ticked at her plastic surgeon.
Why? She looks good.
Well, apparently she had a little touch-up nose job recently.
Okay.
And I guess it was Us Weekly magazine reported that Dr. Raj Kanodia... did the work, and he did not deny it. He didn't confirm it, but he didn't deny it.
Okay. Oh, I see. So she's just wants it to be secret.
She placed calls to Kanodia's office. This is Jennifer Aniston to express her extreme displeasure, but he didn't confirm or deny the story. So I guess she figures he should have denied it.
I think that's what they all do: is they can't confirm or deny.
Well,
right?
If he did it, he can't really deny without lying.
Oh, but he can say, "I can't confirm or deny."
Right.
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 I think that's what he did. Which, in essence, by sort of backward logic, is as good as a yes.
I guess.
What was the guy's between a rock and a hard place? What's he going to do? He's between a nose and a hard place. What can he do?
Now, Jen was getting, as I understand, she was getting a deviated septum repaired or something. It wasn't a strictly plastic surgery operation she went in for, right?
No, because she's already had one of those.
Because her nose looks fine.
She had the big one years ago.
Right.
Right.
And apparently this was just some sort of touch-up. Yeah, I don't know whether it was cosmetic or whether it was functional, but she did have a little work done. She's upset because...
Well, she's going to have to get over that.
Yeah, she is. Don't think it's your nose out of joint about. You know what I'm saying?
Hey!
Thank you. I'll try the V. I'll be here all week.
That isn't good for you.
Jennifer also says she'd like to adopt. She wants to become a mommy. Well, you know, Brad's got one with Angelina. She's got to keep up step.
Got to keep up.
Got to burn him somehow by getting a new baby. She said she's looking into adoption. However, she's going to adopt right here in Los Angeles. Doesn't feel like she has to go around globetrotting to find her babies. There's enough needy children right here in the States.
Yeah!
Burn.
Booyakah.
How they like it
suck
now.
It, Angelina. Suck it. That's what she's saying, basically. George Clooney's still denying he's dating Pamela Anderson. He's the only guy in the world who would deny that, by the way.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I don't need Pamela Anderson. I'm banging 19 hot younger chicks than her. He said, I worked with Pam 7 years ago and haven't seen her since. So that, in spite of reports all over the internet claiming that the pair were spotted at a place in Sherman Oaks, California, where Pam was allegedly sitting on George's lap. You familiar with the Valley Inn?
No.
In Sherman Oaks? I'm not either, but it sounds a little low rent for those two to be.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
I think it's a restaurant, but...
Oh, restaurant, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those rumors that you just let go. If people want to think that, no worries.
He's been, he's the only guy that Pam Anderson would be sort of like stepped down to what he's usually used to dating. But he has to go, oh, no, Pam Anderson, no, not for me.
You kidding? It's below my line.
These models over here, thank you very much. And speaking of beneath the line, this ParisExposed.com website's just blowing up.
Yeah.
Everyone's fascinated by this guy who bought all this stuff that Paris Hilton had stored in a storage space. Apparently the bill was about $200 a month. She stopped paying it, or her friend stopped paying it, whoever she was, whoever owned the lease on the,
right,
on the joint. And all the stuff was in there, was auctioned off, and this guy bought all the stuff. And now people are picking over what allegedly came out of that storage space, and the press is having a field day.
I've seen video that I haven't seen before, I'll tell you that.
That's the first thing that caught everyone's attention, is there are some additional videos of Ms. Hilton at work.
Yep.
Also, apparently... in this group of things that the guy purchased out of the storage space, numerous pictures of her and her former best friend, Nicole Richie, doing drugs, including hallucinogenic mushrooms, a substance that appears to be cocaine. I love when they put it that way.
I know.
What else? Yeah. What other white powder are people snorting up their nose? It's either heroin or coke.
Vitamin C.
Could be chalk. You never know.
It could be chalk.
Wasn't that off somebody's chest?
Could be unsifted flour.
Rub their chest with it or something? I don't know.
And marijuana. There's also notes about doing drugs in Amsterdam, apparently, that they're written in Paris's hand, and a medical bill for an abortion in 2003. Hi, how are you?
No kidding.
So, everyone's talking about that stuff.
Now,
dude's selling it, right?
I don't know. That's what I was going to say. When you go to the site, is he trying to sell you the actual stuff, or do you just get to watch or see?
Yeah, I think you pay to see the stuff, to actually be able to scroll through and read all of the diaries and everything like that. I think that's what he's got going on.
I'd love to talk to him. Because every time I go there to click on stuff, stuff keeps disappearing. Like,
stuff doesn't work a lot.
Windows aren't working, and you can't go to another page. So I don't know whether there's some sort of legal hassle, whether it's just a crappy site, but I'm not having much success over there at ParisExposed.com. Maybe if you go there yourself, folks, you'll have better luck than I am. And last night were the SAG Awards. It's a good award show because it's quick and it's star-studded. There's no host.
Oh, really?
They just move through and they give out the awards and everyone's drinking at the table, so the speeches tend to be lively.
Excellent.
It's a very entertaining show. Last night, the results were a lot like the Golden Globes were, except this time Little Miss Sunshine picked up Best Movie Prize instead of Babel. The cast of Little Miss Sunshine was awarded the Best Ensemble in a Feature Film Award. Forest Whitaker won for Best Actor for Last King of Scotland. Actress was Helen Mirren for The Queen, where she plays Queen Elizabeth. Best Supporting Actor and Actress in a Movie both went to Dreamgirls stars Eddie Murphy and Jennifer Hudson. In the TV division, Best Actor in a Drama Series was Hugh Laurie for House. Best Actress, Chandra Wilson for her work on Grey's Anatomy. Best Actor in a Comedy Series, Alec Baldwin for 30 Rock. Actress went to America Ferrera for Ugly Betty. Best cast was Grey's Anatomy in a drama, and The Office won for Best Comedy Series cast. And they gave a Lifetime Achievement Award to Julie Andrews.
Ralph, now that all the other award shows are done, as far as I know, the Oscars are the only one left, right? Who do you
Grammys,
think?
Yeah, but in terms of these
movies, though, who do you think will win Best Picture now? Because it seems like there's some out there think Little Miss Sunshine, some think Babel, some think The Departed. What do you think?
I predict it'll be The Departed.
That's what I think too.
I think
it's a great movie.
I think this will
be his
one
year.
Of the few years where these movies are not precursors to what's actually going to happen.
Right.
I think so much goodwill is going to be focused towards Martin Scorsese. I believe he might get burned out of director again. That's the only thing that's going to make me feel sad.
Oh, man.
That would be a burn.
Clint Eastwood is such a favorite of the Academy. He did apparently an amazing job in Iwo Jima, and he might get it again, and Scorsese will go home without another director.
Boy, I hope that doesn't happen. I'd rather see him lose Best Picture and win Best Director just so he gets that monkey off his back.
Well, that movie will get one or the other, but it won't get both.
Wow.
I think if they give him director, they'll figure, well, that's good enough for him, and then Babel probably will win movie, I'm guessing.
I didn't hear Borat's name. What happened to Borat?
Not even.
Oh, well, what?
I know.
Then they're not for me.
I know. I hear you.
I'm not with them.
It will follow her and maybe make a sexy time with her.
No.
Why not?
Because a woman has a right to choose who she has sex with.
What?
How about that? That's good, huh?
It's not good for me.
Yeah. I love his just disbelief. What? She gets to choose. Today's celebrity birthday is Heather Graham.
How great was she on Scrubs when she was a recurring character on Scrubs?
Great in
so
everything.
Hot.
Everything.
That show, by the way, Scrubs is getting better every year.
Except for that series she did, all about Noreen or whatever the
series was
that she was doing.
I can't remember that one.
I love her the most, but even I wouldn't turn into that. That's how bad it looked. Remember her as Roller Girl in Boogie Nights?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. The porn industry.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Anyway, Heather's 37 years old today. Ed Burns, so I believe they were an item for a while, her.
Is that right?
Ed Burns
and
Heather
Graham. Yeah, I think
you're right. He's 39 years old today. Oprah Winfrey celebrates her 53rd birthday. I was watching something over the weekend, E! Or one of those freaking channels, and they had this giant thing on Oprah, and she's saving lives.
Yeah.
And it dawned on me, as I watched it, I feel like saying, you know she hosts a talk show, right? She's a talk show host. That's what she really is. Everyone relax.
Yeah.
She's stinking rich, and yes, she's very charitable, but in the bottom analysis, she's a talk show host.
You're just afraid she's going to turn on guys and we're all dead if
well,
that
that's
happens.
A given. We're screwed. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
She could announce on her show today that she's running for president, and they wouldn't even have to have the election. She'd be such a write-in.
But she's a talk show host.
I know, but people love her.
The people love her.
Do they love her like Arsenio? That's what I want to know.
But the people really do love Oprah, though. It's not a joke.
Blows my mind. And Tom Selleck, actor, American, NRA membership holder, Tom Selleck, who's 62 years old today, Magnum P.I. Of course, if you're Bean, he was the dentist on Friends.
I'm just saying, Magnum P.I. was a little bit before my TV time.
I don't watch Magnum P.I. either.
You know, he made a great movie once, too, called Runaway. With Gene Simmons as the bad guy.
No!
Yeah, Gene Simmons
really?
Is the evil genius villain. If you ever get a chance, it's one of the great cheesy sci-fi movies of all time.
Is it bad enough to be good?
Oh, yeah, especially Gene Simmons' performance in it.
He's not an actor.
As the evil guy who releases robots on you that inject you with acid. Oh, it's so good.
Awesome.
Gene, you remember that role, don't you?
I remember being an evil robot injecting people with acid, but, Moff Garman, you're mistaken. It wasn't acid.
Oh, I'm sorry, Gene.
It was the DNA gravy.
All right.
Thank you.
Jeez, hard to do without Lisa May here, isn't it, Gene? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Very excited. Our old pal Bear Margera back on the TV, MTV, tomorrow night with his third series for the channel. It is at 9:30 called Bam's Unholy Union. Oh, my God. Bam is getting married, and he found a hottie, too. Bam and Missy on the line with us right now, the happy fiancés. Hey, you guys. Welcome to K-Rock.
Hey, what's going on?
You guys still getting married?
Yes, oh, yeah.
Definitely.
So the show debuts tomorrow night on MTV, Bam's Unholy Union.
Yep.
And a lot of questions come to mind. I mean, Missy, how long have you known him?
Since we were in sixth grade.
Okay, so you know what he's like.
Yeah.
And his friends.
Yes.
But everyone you know, Missy, I would assume, from your parents to your friends to people on the street, have got to be coming up to you and saying, no, you think you know what you're getting yourself into, but it's a big mistake, right?
No, maybe like some fans and stuff might think that, but the people that actually know Bam, they know that he's a great guy, so they're just...
Oh, we don't doubt he's a great guy. It's just, you know, when you marry Bam, you marry the entire Jackass crew. You get them all.
Yeah, in a way.
Every vacation you go on, they're going to show up. Steve-O will be in the room next to you.
Right. Lucky for me, I really like them. So,
okay.
You know,
all right. Good.
Hey, I wake up is to this them every morning? But you know, here and there, they're fun.
I got you.
Sure. Hey, I like the Jackass guys too. In small doses, though. I like them when you can then get away from them. But you're going to be in a situation where I don't think that's going to be possible. Now, is it true, Bam, that you proposed to Missy because you guys were in a jewelry store and she happened to try on a ring that fit? And you said, "Well, that's a sign."
Yeah. It just went on perfect, and it was the pretty much the only one that I really liked in Cartier, and I was like, well, I'm doing it here. And then the lady behind the counter was so stoked that she gave us 3 bottles of Cartier champagne, so we just got annihilated sitting there.
Now, when you went in to look at rings, you were doing that because you were planning on getting married, though. It's not like it just popped in your head, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
And you know, she wanted it to be a Cartier ring, so I was like, well, let's just go to the King of Prussia Mall and
I got you.
Check them out.
There you go. Okay. So you got cameras from MTV following every step, and the show is going to unfold, and we're going to see that, we're going to see the bachelor party, and we're going to see the rehearsal dinner, and all that stuff's going to be telegraphed leading up to the actual ceremony in February, right?
Yeah.
Now, you guys haven't already gotten married. It's going to be live, or have you already been married and the show's all shot?
No. We're doing that in February, but we have about 4 to 5 episodes completely done now, and we have 9 total.
Missy, there's still time to get out.
I don't want to. I can't wait.
All right, listen. I have some clips that I would like people to hear. This looks like it might be one of the best. I love everything you do, Bam. I love Jackass. I love Wild. I just love it all. And you're talking about how big you want the wedding to be. And Missy's holding a notebook with all of the list of names of people that she wants to invite to the wedding. And you're starting to talk about how big a wedding you want, how big you don't want it to be. And you grab it out of her hands and do something that's fantastic.
Well, if you don't want to have a big wedding, we don't have to have a big wedding. I don't want to have a big wedding. Most of this guest, it's Bam, don't. No. No, seriously, don't. Bam!
Throws it in the fireplace and sets it on fire.
Yep.
How funny is that, Missy, huh?
I can laugh about it now, but at the time, I was super pissed.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not funny. Get those cameras out of my face. I hate this. I quit. But, you know, now it's one of the funnier scenes, you know, in the whole episode.
It is funny, though, and I know we got another clip we're going to play here in a sec, Bam. It is funny that you proposed, yet it seems like as you guys are preparing for the wedding, you're the guy trying to sabotage it. It seems like you're the guy who's jumping up and trying to figure out a way to stop this from happening.
I just like to, you know, do my thing, like do Jackass stuff and skateboarding and, you know, the whole thing when she's asking me, like, what kind of paper do you want for the invitations and should we do this? It's like, huh?
I know.
What kind of paper do I want? I don't know. Just write it on a piece of white paper and send.
But then if you don't act excited enough, then they think you don't care.
I know, but I like to do the fun stuff, like figure out what bands we want to play. Like, we have Iggy Pop and the Stooges playing, and we have the Sounds from Sweden, and that's the fun stuff for me.
Here's you guys talking about the music.
I want you two to talk about what you would like for a wedding.
Purple Unicorn, Cradle of Filth.
No Cradle of Filth. No death metal at the wedding.
No, you can't.
My grandmother's going to have a heart attack.
No death metal at the wedding. She's already trying to lay down rules, Bam. Look out.
And then who's screaming? Is this your mom, Bam, that's screaming about who's coming to the wedding or being in the wedding party?
Yeah, that's
Abe. Yeah.
All right, here you go. This is that.
He's in the wedding party? He's in the wedding party? No!
You really think that I'm going to not invite him to the wedding?
Why would you? Because
I've known him since I was 13.
He's a robber and a drug addict.
That's the only thing that's like a positive to you, isn't it, Bam?
Yeah, that's my best friend Novak, and my mom can't stand him because he's been on heroin for 7 years. But he's 3 years clean. But he'll still pop like random downers like Xanax and stuff, and then he'll get all wasted. So he's like, get him out of here. He's a bad influence. I'm like, yeah, but he's my best friend. I have to invite him to the wedding.
All right, we're running a little short on time. Tell us about your bachelor party. You had it in New York and in Las Vegas?
Yeah, and the one in New York went smoothly, but the one in Vegas was so hell. I had a bowling alley. I had a jacuzzi. I had a 24-hour bartender in my room and a pool table. So I never left the room for 3 days, and we got so drunk that I threw a bowling ball at my uncle. He crapped himself, and then Don Vito was laughing about it so bad that he crapped himself.
Good times.
I was trying to tell Vito that he did, and he was so drunk that he wasn't even listening to me. So then I had to call security to get him wheelchaired out of my room.
Oh, my God. Tell me that's going to be on the show.
Most of it will be, yeah.
Missy, does Bam still have a dick branded on his ass from Jackass 2?
Sure does, yeah.
Still has that there, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, that's spectacular.
It's faded a little bit, but it's definitely still there.
And I have one last Jackass question, and that is, I can't remember, Bam, why you were in the horse trailer when they threw in the King Cobra.
Yeah.
But I can't remember why you were in there, but they threw a King Cobra in with you, and you're so deathly afraid. You got out of that horse trailer, and I swear it was a 2-inch by 2-inch hole that you somehow squeezed your body through in about 5 seconds.
Yeah, I was terrified because they told me that they're like, how about this skit where you do the wind tunnel where we'll start this big airfoil
fan boat, yeah.
and then you'll get flown into the back. I was like, yeah, it might not be too funny, but I'll give it a shot anyway. So I did it, and their whole hidden agenda was to lock me in there so they could put a King Cobra in it.
Jackass number 2 now out on DVD in both rated and too hot for theaters unrated versions. Bam's Unholy Union is the new show. It debuts tomorrow night at 9:30 on MTV. Bam and Missy, the next time we talk to you, I hope you guys are married and happy, man. I hope it works out for you.
Thanks a lot.
And Missy, I hope to see you in Jackass 3.
Yeah,
thank you, guys.
Ooh, tell me.
We need some kind of big music, don't we? I mean, some kind of, I don't know, drum roll or Olympic theme. I mean, we got to make it sound big.
All right, Psycho Mike, why don't you pick up some big music for us here? We're talking about destination number 5 of K-Rock's World Tour 2007. As you know, the way it works, we give you tickets to a local show generally, and then you're eligible for grand prize drawing to send you someplace exotic around the world to see the band again. Who's it going to be this time?
Well, this time it's going to be, oddly enough, since we just played them, The Killers.
Oh.
And where you're going to go, and this is bad because we keep making jokes about sending our listeners out of the country, which is all fine and good until we send them out of the country and they don't come back, because this time we're sending them to Amsterdam.
Oh, yay!
With its famed red light district, and you go into a restaurant and they have every kind of pot and hash on a list, and you can just pick an order.
And it's legal.
And it's legal, and no one's ever going to come back. So you get airfare for two. You get hotel, which I guarantee you will smell very strongly of pot. Every hotel in Amsterdam does. You have to go to the banana bar. That's our recommendation. It's a high-class joint. You'll really like it. And as the qualifying prize, we're going to give you tickets when the Killers play Staples Center April 9th. You can buy tickets for that this Saturday at 10 a.m. You can buy your tickets this Saturday at 10 a.m. It's Killers Staples Center, April 9th. You win those tickets when we tell you when to call, and then you qualify for Friday's drawing to send a K-Rock listener to Amsterdam.
Pineapples, coconuts,
pineapples and coconuts.
Someone's got the munchies.
Hey, this is Brandon Flowers. I am in The Killers.
And you will too for Destination 5 of K-Rock's World Tour 2007.
Watch it now, here he comes.
The Killers in Amsterdam.
Well, somebody told me you had a boyfriend.
All I know is that I'm having an Amsterdam good time, yes.
Get on the standby morning list all this week and win tickets to see The Killers at Staples Center April 9th.
Tickets are on sale Saturday.
Listen for Kevin and Bean to call your name Friday morning at 7:15.
The world famous K-Rock.
All right, let's bring up a website that we found. Actually, it's an eBay listing, and it's because the Super Bowl is coming up this Sunday, and the Chicago Bears are in it for the first time in 21 years, and they are playing the Indianapolis Colts.
Yes.
We have a diehard Chicago Bear fan on the line. Her name is Sarah. Good morning, Sarah.
How are you?
Very good, thank you. Sarah, by the way, you can see her picture at krock.com. Click on Kevin and Bean.
Oh.
And you should.
What's that noise? Sarah is a cheerleader in the picture. And she has orange and black pom-poms, and she's got a Bears, it looks like, cheerleading outfit. Did you make that yourself?
Yeah, it was for Halloween.
Halloween, okay. So you put an ad on eBay. Basically, you're selling your pom-poms because they don't allow people to sell themselves, right?
Yeah, I started out selling myself in a roundabout sense, and they took it down. So I tried to sell my pom-poms again, And sadly, they ended up taking that one down, too, but not until it had already become popular enough to benefit me.
Excellent. So basically, sure. She's hot, and she says, hey, if you have an extra ticket to the Super Bowl, I'm a Bears fan. I already have my airfare. I already have a place to stay. I just need a ticket. And you were hoping to find somebody who would take you to the game.
Yeah, I pretty much figured, you know, the Super Bowl's kind of corporate, so hopefully someone who's going to just be sitting at the game talking business and doesn't even know about football might find it in the goodness of their heart to take someone who really wants to be there.
Now, how long have you been a Bears fan?
I would say, you know, forever. I grew up in Lake Forest, which is where they practice, mm-hmm. north of Chicago. Definitely in the last probably 5 years, I've gotten to be a lot bigger fan than I was before just because I've had more time to watch than when I was a dork in college and whatever, and I was out of Chicago.
What would you say about a guy? Let's say that we had a sports guy, our former sports guy, Money, who is a lifelong Chicago Bears fan. Lifelong. Grew up in Chicago, loves everything about the Bears. And is working at a sports radio station and is not going to Miami for the Super Bowl. What would you say about that guy? Gay?
I would say that he should be going, but I understand that it's very difficult to get tickets.
PC. He can get them. That's the point. He works at a sports radio station.
Oh, then why isn't he going?
I don't know. That's what I keep trying to ask him. Okay, so you had the bid. The last page that I had printed out from eBay was $798.
Yeah, I think it got up to like $6,000 or something before they took it down.
$6,000. Now, to keep people updated, this is $6,000 that you're going to pay Sarah so that you can take her with your ticket to the Super Bowl, right?
Well, yeah, except for I think that people started to figure out that I didn't actually want money. I just wanted tickets. So they were, I guess, kind of bidding on the right to take me, but they didn't think they were going to actually have to pay. They thought that basically was a bid to take me, and they would just pay for the ticket.
Oh, I see.
People that were ready to pay and give me the ticket.
So they would substitute the ticket for the money that they were bidding.
Yeah.
How many people did you have that bid, you know, guessing that there was going to be some kind of sex involved?
Oh, a ton, yeah. I got about 580 emails or something.
Naked pictures of a fat guy, stuff like that.
I've actually only gotten one naked picture so far. Thank God. I don't really want those.
I thought you would like that, Sarah. Actually, I'm a little disappointed to hear you talking about it like that.
Well, have you seen some of the Chicago Bears fans? I mean, I love them to death, but it's cold in Chicago and they're very pale.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Things happen when it's cold, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
When you thought of this idea, did you run it by anybody? Did people think it was going to be as successful as it turned out to be?
Oh, no way. I mean, I was actually at work on Wednesday night, and I was just talking to my boss and saying, you know, this is so horrible. I can't, like, all the people that I thought might have connections for tickets already have hooked up so many people that it just seems like it's not going to happen for me.
Right.
And I was like, I want to just make a website that says, take me to the Super Bowl, because if, you know, Screech can make a website about people helping him pay for his house,
yeah,
and those D-list fans can do crap like that, why shouldn't I just see what happens?
And look at Screech, for God's sakes.
I know, yeah. Right? And he just threw out the word eBay. He's like, I don't even know how you would do it. And so I was just like, all right, why don't I just try that and see what happens? And to be honest, I kind of thought, oh, it sounds a little weird to say that I'm selling myself on eBay.
Right.
But I didn't really think that it was that novel of an idea until I woke up the next morning and I already had 300 emails. And people that I haven't seen since I was like 9 years old were like, Sarah, I'm in New York. I work on Wall Street. And like 1.5 million people have sent me this email and asked if I know you from home. And I was like, what's going on here? Like, what are you doing? Why are you selling yourself on eBay?
Oh, man, you're falling on hard times, Sarah. I didn't realize you were pouring yourself out. No, it's not like that. I'm a Bears fan.
Exactly.
Now, Sarah made it clear in her eBay, by the way, that it was just to go to the game. There's no hanky-panky even implied here. But you also mentioned, if I remember correctly from when I checked it out, that you are single and you're keeping your mind open because who knows who you could meet in this venture, right?
It's very true.
Yeah. Now, is the bidding over? Did somebody win, so to speak?
Actually, I kept emailing people that were bidding and just, you know, confirming that they did have tickets and saying, I don't want any money. I just want to go to the game. Like, that was not what this is about. And eBay ended up pulling it down again. So technically, I don't, you know, owe anyone who wins the eBay thing.
Oh, I see, because it's not up any longer. Okay.
It's not up any longer. But it was only literally about a day and a half after I posted it, I got a phone call from Axe, you know, like the male body sprays and grooming.
Oh, yeah, Axe,
that,
yeah.
Yeah, they have those commercials where the girls attack the guys or whatever.
Right.
And they were like, we don't want to just give you a ticket. We want to let you take two girlfriends with you to the game. And you get to have a contest. It's not technically a contest because it's just up to me. They don't have any say. But
right.
Basically run something online where I try and get guys to do exactly what I did and flip it around, and I get to pick a guy to come with us to the Super Bowl.
So now you and...
That's the funniest thing ever.
So now you and two of your friends are going to have a contest for a guy to come with the three of you.
Yeah, pretty much. So I get to tell all the guys that were, like, sending me emails that were like, this is so unfair, you're a girl, you get to go, or, like, you're a dirty hooker, or whatever else people were writing me, and they get to put their tail between their legs and turn around and probably do exactly what I did, although they're being a lot more desperate than I was so far.
I was just kidding about being a whore and all that.
Yeah.
I was just joking.
I would have taken you anyway.
That's awesome.
That is funny.
Really,
well,
a million times better than I could have imagined.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. Not only are you going, you get to go with your pal. Now too. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
wow.
I'm not gonna get chopped up into bits by a stranger or anything.
Okay, so I need to make a note. Call back friend, tell him he's back into the Super Bowl.
Kevin is going to the Super Bowl, Sarah, with a friend of his, and he already alerted his friend. Hey, we're talking to this chick, Sarah. She's so hot, I may be dumping your ticket.
we're both going to Miami. I just told him I expected him to do the right thing.
That's, yeah, of course.
Which is to give up his ticket.
That would be the right thing, to ditch your friend who's been a fan for life. For
yeah, exactly. So, no, that's a different fan. The fan for life isn't going. That's,
I can't believe that.
That's our former sports guy money.
He's not a fan for life, then.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. Exactly.
All right, well,
years. You're killing me, guys.
It looks like you have a fantastic trip planned, especially now that you get to bring two friends.
Yeah, I'm really excited. My girlfriends are beyond excited.
And are you getting the list of parties that are going on? Maxim always throws a party. Playboy always throws a party. There's concerts this week.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch. The only problem is I can't go until Saturday morning.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The day before the game. So I've really got to just turn Saturday night into like the longest, greatest night of my life.
Yeah, you just have to get it all in one night.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, Sarah, as a hardcore Bears fan, and we know a few of them here, they get so nervous when they think about which Rex Grossman is going to show up on Sunday. How are you feeling about it a few days before the game now?
You know what? I feel good because in the last couple of years, the Bears have had some quarterbacks that just really didn't have the skill to get it done, so we were kind of just hoping that they wouldn't mess up.
Right.
And I think Rex actually has the skills to do it. It's just a matter of having his head in the right place where he wants to kind of, like, he's willing to go three and out, and he's willing to throw, like, short passes and be patient.
But he's so hot and cold. I mean, there are times
he really
when he's
is.
Terrible, and you go, oh, man. Thank God you have a fantastic defense that not only stops people but also causes turnovers and defense scores.
Yeah, exactly. That's a big thing, and that's why he has to be patient, because if he just doesn't mess up too much, we'll win by virtue of our special teams and our defense. And the thing is, though, actually, Rex Grossman has a higher passer rating in the playoffs than Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I know. That's
everybody
what they say.
Everybody who's like, you know, he's doing exactly what he needs to be doing when it counts, which is now.
So right, exactly.
Feel good about sexy Rexy.
I'm sorry. Did you say sexy Rexy?
Sexy Rexy.
Oh, Sarah.
Do you think that the odds makers have it wrong when they favor Indy by so much then?
I really do, because even though Indy's been a strong team for the last couple of years, nobody even had them going to the Super Bowl. They all had Peyton choking before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, true.
Now that
they're
in it, I don't understand why everyone's turning it around and putting them up, especially considering the Bears had the best record in the NFC. Like, we basically dominated the Saints, who everybody had rolling over us in the championship game.
Sarah's the perfect world girl. She's hot. She knows sports. What the hell?
I know. She's unbelievable.
What the hell
really
is going on?
I want first dibs on taking you to next year's Super Bowl. I don't care who's in it, Sarah.
I don't care who's in it either. Let's go.
All right. Well, congratulations. We'll look for you on the TV. Somehow I figure the way things have been going for you lately, you're going to end up on TV somehow on Sunday too. But we'll definitely be looking for you. It was a great idea that you had, and I'm glad it worked out for you. And we appreciate you coming on the Kevin and Me and Sean K. Rock.
Thank you so much. Hey, will you tell everyone, all the hot boys in L.A. to go to myspace.com/SuperBowlDate. And
Super
they can
Bowl
get
date.
All the
okay.
info to try and submit for the to get the extra ticket.
Can I give
take a hot, big, huge football fan.
Tell us what it is again. myspace.com/SuperBowlDate. Super Bowl date. Can I give out your email address?
Give them the one for the contest, which is hot Super Bowl date @hotmail.com.
Okay, and she's looking for naked pictures of men.
No,
not looking for that.
Sorry.
Thank you.
7:53, Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Pete. Ralph, what's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz news, I want to thank all the K-Rock listeners who came out Saturday to Santa Anita Racetrack in Arcadia, California. We had an amazing microbrew festival, first of the year, and it was the most crowded I'd ever seen the joint.
Excellent.
And the weather was crappy. I couldn't imagine what would happen if we had had sunshine.
Yeah.
It was sort of drizzly and gray, but we had a blast anyway.
Lawsuits?
No lawsuits as far as I could tell.
How come there's never any lawsuits when I'm not there?
Because you're a bad man. And I'm just hoping that Window Licker Nick got his free folding chair. I'm just hoping that came to fruition. Poor Window Licker showed up at the event.
Hi, everybody. I'm here to have fun and get wasted. I got a free folding chair. It's great. I can take a chair home with me.
And then someone in the K-Rock crew took Nick's folding chair.
Oh, come on.
And threw it on top of the K-Rock promotional van, which is about 9 feet high. And that's all Nick cared about for the next 2 hours. All I heard was,
I'm not leaving without my free chair. I want my chair. Can I get my... Where's my free chair? Can I get my chair back? If I crawled up the top of the van, would you help me down?
Why wouldn't he just climb up on the
hood?
Just
give me a boost on the chair.
Oh, my.
So I can get my chair.
Poor Nick.
Psycho Mike, could you lift me up on top of the van to get my free folding chair?
I would get up and get the chair just so he would stop talking like that.
Oh, it's brutal.
He doesn't get a lot of free stuff, though. He must have been very excited. And by the way, what'd you guys do to Lisa May at those Santa Anita microbrew? She didn't even show up today.
Yeah, she's got jury duty.
Oh. They hand that out at the microbrews.
Yeah, if you lose a race, you get jury duty.
Right.
Yeah, so there you go. Good time was had by all, except for Nick, who never got his folding chair.
Did he not get it ever?
I have to go. I need my chair. I'd leave without my chair. You think I would get dirty if I crawled up on top of the van to get my chair?
At least he won a race, though.
They did. He won a race. I didn't win a race. Freaking Window Licker Nick won a race.
Did he?
Yeah.
All right.
Lava Man. I picked Lava Man. He's like a superhero. Can't fight Lava Man.
That's how he won the race. Picking the name that sounded most like a superhero that you couldn't beat. I've been sitting there handicapping. I'm going through the last 12 races the horses run and how much the jockeys are weighing.
Ralph has all the statistics. He looks like he knows what he's doing.
Lava Man. It's a superhero name.
Wins with Lava Man. Ugh. Weekend's hot movies at the box office. Epic movie, number one at the box office, $19.2 million made this weekend. Smoking Aces came in at number two with $14.2 million. Night at the Museum was third, followed by Catch and Release, the new Jennifer Garner movie, made $8 million. Good enough to make it number four. Stomp the Yard was number five.
What the hell are they doing?
The Stomp in the Yard. Where are you from?
Dreamgirls was number six. Pursuit of Happiness was seven. Then Pan's Labyrinth, The Queen, and The Hitcher, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Screen Actor Guild's awards were held last night. Pretty much the same winners as the Golden Globe Awards, except for a few minor changes. Instead of Babel winning Best Film, Little Miss Sunshine picked up the prize for Best Cast Ensemble in a Motion Picture. Forest Whitaker won again for Last King of Scotland, as did Helen Mirren for both her roles as the Queen and Queen Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth I from the TV miniseries. Eddie Murphy and Jennifer Hudson won for Supporting Actor and Actress. In the TV division, Hugh Laurie won for House, Chandra Wilson for Grey's Anatomy, Alec Baldwin for 30 Rock, and America Ferrera won for Ugly Betty. Grey's Anatomy picked up Best Drama Series Cast, and Best Comedy Series Cast was The Office. Julie Andrews won the Lifetime Achievement. You know, she only made like 30 movies in her career. I thought she made a ton more. Seems like she's just everywhere all the time. Yeah, it's because I watched Mary Poppins and Sound of Music a million times when I was a kid. But it was pretty cool.
When you were talking about the movies, I missed
my preference, Dog Style. Yes. I like.
I missed Borat.
I don't know why he wasn't nominated.
That's bogus.
I really can't tell you. I'm very disappointed, though. Jake Gyllenhaal tells GQ Magazine he's ready to become a father.
Oh.
Just as soon as he stops having sex with men.
Oh.
No, he never said that. He's looking for the right woman to settle down with. I'm definitely thinking about children, he said.
Mm-hmm.
The most important job for a man is to find the right woman. I thank my father for choosing my mother. She's wonderful in so many ways. As a father, your job is to pick a caring, smart, mindful woman.
This is him trying to pick.
Oh yes, Heath Ledger. Oh, yes. It's like a big sausage. Oh, yes. That's right, Jake Gyllenhaal. It is. It's a spicy sausage. How do you like that? Oh, yes.
You know, I was surprised that the sequel to Brokeback Mountain, Brokeback Island, wasn't nominated.
That we don't
wasn't
have,
nominated for any SAG Awards last night.
We don't have time.
It was such a big blockbuster film.
We don't really have time for that.
Well, I just thought, I mean, just the trailer alone made me think this was an award winner.
From director Ang Lee and the producers of Brokeback Mountain comes yet another story of a love between two men that would not be denied.
I haven't had an erection in 11 years.
Hey, want to party on my
Two radio DJs.
I suck so hard.
Discovering love within each other.
Hold on, I'm trying to swallow.
One, fearing that their love would never be accepted.
He's just magic.
Moved to a faraway island. The other man.
Want a banana, you hot little monkey bitch?
Knowing his life would never be complete without his partner, dyed his blonde hair, put on his green pleather jacket, and moved to that island to join him.
Hey, blow me?
Ooh, ooh!
Together, the two men will discover a love
in your mouth
that could not be weakened by time, distance, or a lack of talent.
It's getting hot in here.
Hi, we're looking for Dick.
Ang Lee presents Brokeback Island.
I am a whore.
See, how did that not sweep last night at the SAG Awards?
People don't have taste, Ralph.
That's
You've said that many different times.
So true.
I'm offended by that.
It's quiet. It's quiet now.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Sorry.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Heather Graham turns...
Oh, sí. Me gusta el pica picoso salchicha. Oh, sí, Heath Ledger. Como me gusta tu salchicha. A ti también me gusta tu salchicha, Jake. Oh, sí, bien super picoso.
Wow.
Espanol fans.
A bilingual comeback, that bit. Heather Graham's 37 years old today. Ed Burns turns 39. Tom Selleck, who, Bean, played the optometrist on Friends, not the dentist.
Oh, is that what it was? I'm sorry.
Man.
A lot of angry phone calls from Tom Selleck fans.
Sorry.
Tom is 62 years old today. You know, for 62, Selleck's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm no Mo, but he's a handsome fella.
Still have the
fella.
Porn stash?
He's trimmed it. It's tighter now, but still he's rocking the stash. He's the only guy who can.
Yeah.
He doesn't look better. He looks better with it than without it. Very few
I
guys
agree.
Can say that. And Oprah Winfrey, who also looks better with her mustache than without.
Much better, yeah.
Turns 43 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yes, Heath Ledger. Yes, it's like a big sausage. Yes, that's right, Jake Gyllenhaal. It is. It's a spicy, spicy sausage. How do you like that? Yes.
Over the weekend, another episode of Trading Spouses. LaQuisha watches that one for us. And I guess it was the return of the God Warrior. Our pal Marguerite Perrin was on for part two, right, LaQuisha?
That's right, and I'm so angry at Fox Television.
How come? What's wrong?
How long and how hard did they have to look to find a black person who came off looking worse than Marguerite Perrin on this show?
Well, Marguerite Perrin is the poster child for making white people look bad.
Right. She's a horrible, horrible human being.
Right.
And yet they found somewhere a black man who comes off looking worse than she does in this TV show.
Wow.
That could not have been an easy task.
No way.
That's the second half of the Trading Spouses where Marguerite Perrin goes to stay with a black family down in Florida. And he is a militant, pro-black, African-American gentleman.
Right.
Who is not fond of the white people. And that creates some tension in the house. They're not getting along at all.
Since I've been here, there's been a lot of tension. Bossy was mad at me, and he's made that perfectly clear.
Yes, he has.
Bossy is his name?
Abassi.
Oh, Abassi, okay.
A-B-A-S-I.
Okay.
That's his African name. His real name is like Terrell or something.
Oh, that's what he called his slave
that's
name?
That's his slave name, that's
yeah.
right.
Right.
So, Jaleel actually is his real name. So, Abassi is not getting along with Marguerite at all. And so, he's going to invite some friends over to the house because he can't stand to talk to her no more and he needs some friends. And so they're setting up for this barbecue, and Marguerite wants to know if it's okay if she eats some stuff she got at the store.
I bought some fish that I would like to put on the grill so I could have it. Is that okay?
Well, we'll see.
Pardon?
We will see.
No, we're not going to we'll see. I'll go cook on your grill with my fish.
We'll see.
I don't need a man to cook my food.
No, you don't.
It's funny that she was the one who was doing the screaming all last time. Screaming, screaming, screaming. And now you can tell she's afraid of him at the beginning. Is it okay if I put my face
Well, on? He's being just as mean as possible to her.
Right.
And he's desperately trying to at least make nice because she got to live there for a week.
Right.
And he'll have none of that. But I think Marguerite is right that obviously she doesn't need anyone to cook for her. If there's one thing Marguerite can do, it's feed herself.
Yeah, that is true.
Because girlfriend had a stomach staple operation. She lost 75 pounds, and now she's a svelte 425 or whatever she's pushing these days. So the guests start to arrive at the house, and Abasa goes way out of his way to make her feel uncomfortable.
How you doing?
Hey.
Good to see you. Come on in here and come. And watch out for that crazy woman lurking around his house.
Watch out for the crazy woman. Now, people show up for the barbecue, keep showing up, and Abasi will not introduce Marguerite to anyone. So everyone's like, why is this white woman just lingering in the background of this party? It's all very strange.
I had no intention of introducing Marguerite to anybody. Why would I introduce somebody I consider my enemy to somebody I consider my friend? It makes no sense.
All right, easy there, cultural warrior.
Wow, man, oh man.
Because she's a guest in your home and an invited guest to the party, maybe that's why.
Say, like she's a Shiite and you're a Kurd or something. It's not rockets flying through the living room.
Right.
Just gotta put up with her for a week. Relax. Well, Marguerite takes offense to this, as you can imagine, and she starts to address it with Abasi.
You didn't even introduce me.
Didn't, I really hadn't intended to. I would hope you would stay holed up in your room the whole time, but I guess all wishes don't come true.
No, I'm not an animal. I don't want to stay captive.
Like there's a room in the house that she could stay in. Big old woman sitting in one room. Not going to happen. Now, the funny thing is, Abasi only pretty much has friends that are equally as militant as he is about the African-American cause.
Oh, good.
Now, even they are like, why is he treating this white woman so bad?
Really?
They start to turn.
I have known Abasi for a long time. Abasi is not a lunatic, a madman, somebody that is extremely out of control. So I was highly disappointed to see him just not being a good host.
He's just plain mean for mean's sake. And I started to feel sad for Marguerite Perrin. I never thought that could happen.
No kidding.
Now, she gets so upset that she decides she's got to leave the house. She's going to walk across the street and hang out with the neighbors that she never met before. She's just going to walk up on their porch and sit down and try to hang out with them because she can't take Abasi no more.
Save me.
But instead of just letting that happen, Abasi has to follow her outside and start yelling, trying to make her seem even crazier than she is.
Do you mind if I just come visit?
Save me.
Hey, don't pay no attention. She ain't had her medicine today.
I just...
Yo, don't pay no attention.
Okay.
She having an episode. She ain't had her medicine today. Just smile, kind of grin at it, and just let her get it out. She'll leave you alone in a second.
He's making her look like a mental patient.
He is worse than her.
He's a horrible human being.
Wow.
And she's like having a breakdown. She's like near tears. No one ever been this mean to her, I don't think, before.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. Abasi's friends start to come around and say, come on, what are you doing this to her for? First of all, if you're trying to teach someone tolerance between white and black people, this is not the way to go about it.
It doesn't sound like he's interested in tolerance. He wants revenge.
More importantly, I think they didn't show this, but I think someone pulled him aside and said, this woman's going to decide how you spend $50,000, idiot.
That's right. That's the twist. They get to decide how each other spend the money.
Get your black ass in there and apologize to this woman. So he tries, before she leaves, the best he can to apologize, which isn't much at all. And she's not having any of it. The damage has been done. So she leaves him with this last cutting remark.
I do now know what prejudice feels like. You taught me that. Thank you.
Ooh, no, you didn't! Oh, come on, like she never been prejudiced against before?
Yeah.
Fat people are prejudiced against all the time.
Yeah, true.
She must have known that when people going, look how fat you are. That's prejudice, too. Well, Marguerite finally meets LaToya, who's the mother of the family.
Right.
And she's got some complaints to LaToya about her husband.
We went from bad to worse.
Really?
Yeah. We had fireworks, and it wasn't the 4th of July.
Whoa.
I just see Abasi as barbaric.
Really?
All right, easy, barbaric.
Yeah, but
he wasn't carrying a club, like beating on his table two tigers or nothing.
Yeah, but his wife is shocked that it didn't go well.
Well, because she's a black woman. He would never behave that way to her. She beat him up. The white woman is scared of him.
Yeah.
Well, everyone was curious to know at the end of the episode what Marguerite would do with the envelope with the $50,000 in it. Because remember, the last time she was on a show, she tore it up.
Didn't want it.
Did not want it because it was tainted with dark-sided things.
Uh-huh.
With gorgiles and psychics. Well, let's see what she does with it this time.
I ain't tearing it up. Mama has earned it. Woo.
She's not tearing it up. Because Mama has earned it.
She has.
She's such a different person.
You know, she's kind of shut up, though, too. I earned it. You just lived someplace for a week, and you made $50,000.
Mama has earned this.
For $50,000, I'd live underwater for a week. I'd be like David Blaine, put me in a big fishbowl. I don't need no oxygen or nothing. I just hold my breath for $50,000. Hell, I'd live at Bean's house for a week for $50,000.
Well, let's not get crazy.
Meanwhile, at the Abbasi's house, he's going to have to get a rude awakening when he reads his letter.
Excellent.
Because it turns out that the little girl, Shakami, was the only person that was decent to Marguerite the whole time she was in that house. She's a sweet little 7-year-old girl who don't know yet that she's supposed to hate white people, and so she's just hanging out, having a good time. And I think it was reflected in the way Marguerite divvied up their $50,000.
Remaining $48,485 to be allotted on Shock's 18th birthday.
Nice.
Ah, damn that.
No, let me finish. She could decide better than all of us put together. God bless.
So let me get this right. I was just shocked. We don't believe in sugarcoating things. It's pure b-.
So nobody gets any money except for Shakamay when she turns 18. She gets all that money.
That's awesome.
They don't get nothing.
That's awesome.
They don't get nothing.
That's what he deserves.
Another example, the white man screwing the black man. No, I'm just kidding. She deserved it.
Yes, she did.
All right, now.
Thank you for calling.
Don't copy me. Stop trying to be hard.
All right, listen. We've been having this battle for a long time, and I would just like to set it up for people who so that they can understand what we're dealing with. This is Kevin speaking. I'm a lifelong Laker fan. I did grow up in Phoenix. And yet, the Suns are my second favorite team. I always was a Laker fan. And when I came here, I was like, I went to the Showtime and everything. I was like, oh, I can't believe this is so cool. So I'm a lifelong Laker fan. And Dave, the King of Mexico, is a Clipper fan.
Yeah.
And I think that's only born out of the fact that he's a Laker hater, I think.
No, by the way, Kevin, had you stayed a Suns fan, this season would be a lot more fun for you, wouldn't it? Because you wouldn't have to be a Laker-Clipper guy battling for second place in the division right now if you had your Phoenix Suns as your top team.
So let me set this up and tell you why it's so frustrating. Because Jerry Buss, it turns out, owns a team and is trying to put a winning team on the court every year. He's had, you know, Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem and Magic Johnson and oh, he gets Kobe and Shaq. He gets all these great players. He assembles great, huge teams. They move all the way through, beat everybody and win championships. On the other hand, you've got Donald Sterling. I don't blame the Clipper fans. I don't blame the Clipper players.
You okay?
Donald Sterling tries not to win.
Danny Manning, Maurice Taylor, Michael Olowokandi. What can go wrong with that?
You've named some fine players, but in comparison to the pantheon of great Lakers, it's really laughable.
Here's what they do. They come in last place, and they get the first round draft pick. And then they draft them, and then the player leaves as soon as possible. And Donald Sterling usually lets him. Now, I understand he's made a few good decisions recently. But overall, how many titles have they won?
On one hand, I could say zero.
If
you count them all up,
yeah, zero. Yeah. So Clippers, zero championships. Los Angeles, 16, if you include the two before when they were in the NBA, or whatever, ABA, whatever the league was before they joined the NBA.
Right.
14 in the NBA. That's a lot of championships. So when you get down to one season where they might be rebuilding, and the Clippers have a better record for a week or two, and the Clipper fans try to just flaunt, Clippers rule, Lakers suck. You know, go back and win 14 to 16 championships, and then we'll talk about comparing the two teams.
Stop living
otherwise,
in the past.
Shut your mouth. That's what I'm saying. Now, here's what Dave, the King of Mexico, did.
The Clipper Nation's back.
Yeah.
The Laker fans don't know how to act.
Yeah.
The Lakers suck, and we know that.
Yeah.
We're playoff bound, and that's a fact.
Yeah! Tell them who they are!
Elton Brand.
Uh-huh.
He cleans the boards, cause he's the man. Cadino Mobley cuts through the lane. Sam Cassell has a poster game.
I forgot how bad this was.
Tell them who the fans.
Tony Jack got Malcolm in the middle. Tony Jack got Michael Clark Duncan. Tony Jack got Penny Marshall. Tony Jack got Dancing Daryl. Tony Jack got King of Mexico.
Go Mexico.
Got King of Mexico.
Go Mexico.
Got King of Mexico.
Go Mexico.
Got King of Mexico. You know, I'm tired of Kevin being a psycho Mike not giving the Clippers their props. With a team that also has Maggette, Thomas, Ross, Livingston, and Kamen, it's over. You know who's the best in the West. There ain't no Warriors. There ain't no trails blazing. The Lakers are drying up. The Suns are setting. Clipper Nation number one. 2006, you know they're going all the way. King of Mexico, and I'm out.
So every season, at the beginning of the season, this is how it is. Oh, this is the year. This is the year. This year's the year of the Clippers. This year, the Clippers.
Dave got a little emboldened last year, if you recall, when the Clippers made it to the playoffs and the Lakers didn't, too. I mean, that's what really
lit the fire. Yeah, 1 year, but that's what I'm saying. You're not even in a comparison yet. And by the way, the Suns are setting? I don't think so either. Best in the West for the Clippers?
Turns out, no. Yeah, right now they're seventh, but...
So then Petros Papadakis did.
I'm in love with the Clippers. And I'm in red block and Ralph's holding the microphone like a pole. I'm in love with the Clippers.
It's every man's team. They got a playoff berth. Pump the Lakers too. That's what Sam Cassell's work.
All right, so then he goes on and
he's the team of the people. It's team of the people.
So we figured it was time. You've had your time to mouth off about how it's the Clippers' year. Lakers fans hear this every single season. Beginning of the season, this is the Clippers' year. Yeah. This is the Clippers' year. So we got the band back together, Mudbutt Mafia, and that's myself, that's Psycho Mike, and DJ Omar on the ones and twos. And we put together a little song that I think just kind of shows our feeling about the Lakers and the Clipper feud.
Can't wait.
The Mudbutt Mafia.
Look at these Clippers with attitudes. The losers are dressed in red and blue. Look at these Clippers with attitudes. The losers are dressed in red and blue.
Hello. The Lakers win championships. And it's the motherfucking thanks we get.
Hello.
The Clipper fans are always straight. Get them.
This'll be the year of the kids.
Is what they echo when the smoke settles. Donald Sterling is the devil. The fingers of the Clips will never have any metal. Dr. Buss.
Hello.
Has the Lakers keep on playing. While you sitting there hating, the Lakers are celebrating.
The Lakers win championships. And this the motherfucking thanks we get.
Hello.
The Lakers win championships. And that's the motherfucking thanks we get.
Hello.
A ring for the Clippers is a dream. Kobe Bryant scores more points than your whole damn team.
Get to dialing 911 emergency.
And you can tell them the King of Mexico and the P
should be felons for rooting for a sorry ass team.
The Clippers got zero rings. The Lakers working with 16.
Look at these Clippers with attitudes. The losers are dressed in red and blue.
Hello.
The Lakers win championships. And it's the motherfucking thanks we get.
Hello.
Your fans are confusing like a riddle.
We rock Jack Nicholson, not Faggy Malcolm in the middle.
Looking at Penny Marshall makes me sick.
Get Billy Crystal knee pads so we can suck my d***.
You were so black.
Totally.
Dude.
That's the jam.
Mudbutt Mafia 07, dog.
It's so funny. Before you played Dave's song, you said, I forgot how bad it is. And now that I've heard your song, I forgot how good Dave is.
Tell Dr. Dre to hold on, okay? I'll get to him in a second.
The phones are blowing up, Dave. Now, it turns out I'm not a rapper, and I'd just like you to hear a little bit of what recording this yesterday sounded like. Okay? This is the making of. When should I come in?
Red Hot Chili Peppers there, out on the road with Gnarls Barkley this summer. Between them, nominated for 11 Grammys, by the way. And the Grammys, of course, are coming up next month on CBS. Kevin, you're going to be in the booth? Going to be in the booth for Grammys?
yeah.
Why do you say it like that? The kids love your work.
Because I'm always bad. That's why. There's nothing good about what I do.
Any tips about the police reunion you want to share with us?
Not at this moment.
Okay.
Afro line is 323-520-AFRO. You can leave us a message 24 hours a day. We were talking last week about strange things that we have odd obsessions with, and one of Ralph's was hummingbirds.
So if Ralph likes to watch hummingbirds, does he also like to give hummers? Okay, bye.
See what
now
he did?
That wasn't much of a stretch.
See how he worked that one? You don't have to share with us your deepest, darkest secrets. We don't need to know this, for example.
My obsession is to collect women's anal hairs. I love them. I love it.
Lisa May is going to be so sad she missed today's show when she hears about that.
Don't need to know that. Last week we were talking about people who cannot sleep in the middle of the night and what it is they do to help knock themselves out.
When I couldn't go to sleep, I would read Dean's blog. And then I'd go right to sleep. And now I can't go to sleep anymore. Dean's blog is gone. Bring it back, please.
Tomorrow we'll tell you about Bean's podcast. Right now, a listener with a song.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get your booty on the dance floor. Work it out. Work it out, okay? I know you want to do at least May. 5, 6, 7 now. If you don't know, let me show you how.
This is Your Mind on Drugs. Here's a guy who has a question. Sometimes we play commercials that might be old.
Dude, you guys need to, like, update your commercials. I just heard a Rage Against the Machine commercial with them headlining. You know how long ago they broke up?
Oh, we better look into that. That's a good point. That's a real oversight.
I remember when I was too young to go into that section, gated off at the back of the movie store. But now I'm old enough. I am Jason. I am a pervert.
It's good to get it off your chest. Weed does not make you more interesting, per se.
I'm so high. I love pot. Pot, pot, pot. I love weed. Oh, I'm fake.
Killers?
He doesn't look a thing like Tom Cruise, buddy. Talk about Scientology like you imagined when you... Work glib.
That's almost as bad as our song, Mudbutt Mafia. And finally...
Dude, they're playing some Chili Peppers, man. You guys haven't played Chili Peppers in so long. Especially since it's like flashback to the 90s. Oh, man, this band rocks so hard. Oh, thank you for playing this. Oh, Chili Peppers, man. Guys never play this stuff, man.
You're welcome. We're here to please.
Ralph, was it before your time that Kevin and I broadcast live from Amsterdam, or were you with the show then?
No, I joined after you guys stopped doing things on the show. That's I can always tell the difference between when I was here and when I wasn't here, because before I got here, you guys used to go out and do things, and then when I got here, that all dried up.
Speaking of that, I think somebody needs to go with these winners to the killer show in Amsterdam, and I'd like to volunteer myself.
What a sport.
Thank you.
That's generous of you.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Apparently you heard last week... Paris Hilton had another sex video hit the net. It came out of that storage unit where she had a bunch of stuff in storage, and apparently her friend was paying the tab, and someone stopped paying the $200 monthly bill. Someone came along and bought up all the stuff that was in that storage container, and now they are exposing it on parisexposed.com.
That's so hot.
Besides the sex video, all the news hounds are starting to sniff around and see what exactly is inside that storage unit, and so far, here's what we know. You've got the various and sundry video clips, including apparently some more sexual content.
Which is stuff that we didn't see before.
Right. Now they're saying there are apparently numerous pictures of Paris and her former best friend Nicole Richie doing drugs, including hallucinogenic mushrooms, what looks to be cocaine, and what looks to be marijuana.
Hey, I'm going to do some coke. Get a picture.
This would be so cool. Take a picture of me doing a rail. Shooting pictures when you're doing drugs.
What are they thinking about?
I got better things to do when I'm doing drugs. Like drugs.
Like do drugs.
And word is, there are notes about her drug use in Amsterdam, speaking of Amsterdam, and a medical bill for an abortion in 2003. Hi, how are you?
Well, now.
There you go. Does all this mean she will get even more publicity? That's what people are speculating. This will be another year of Paris. So we'll keep an eye on parisexposed.com and see what news comes out from there. George Clooney is telling People magazine that he has not had sex with Pamela Anderson. There's no romance going on there. There are various internet reports claiming the pair had been seen spotted at a place called the Valley Inn in Sherman Oaks. where Pammy was allegedly sitting on George's lap, but George released the following statement on Friday saying, I worked with Pam 7 years ago, but I haven't seen her since. I'd like to know what they worked on. I was racking my memories. Like, what? Maybe it was one of those bad series that he did. Like Nighthawk or whatever the thing was.
He was in a bunch of failed TV shows before ER, right?
He had a series once. He was like a jazz musician by day and a crime fighter at night or something.
He didn't.
I'm serious.
No.
He drove a motorcycle. He had long hair. It was magical.
Oh, it was spectacular.
So maybe
he's a fag.
No.
That's where they worked together. But I'm pretty safe to say he's not.
Right. Yeah. But it could have been any random blonde with big boobs on his George Clooney's lap. Let's face it. Just because it looks like Pam doesn't mean it's Pam.
I think Pam's a little long in the tooth for George, quite frankly.
I think so, too.
He skews a little younger.
Yeah.
Those boy Gio. That's what I call him. Right
I'm
now.
Sorry?
Gio.
Gio.
You know, like the Metro. Hillary Duff.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Yeah. How apropos. Hillary Duff is announced she is releasing a new CD.
Excuse you. You spin a wheel. You spin a wheel, Kevin.
Excuse
when
younger.
Rock lands on you
talking
play?
About.
You just close your eyes and pick a button sometimes.
You said he skews younger, speaking about the ages of the
right,
girls.
Right.
All right. We have a winner, believe it or not.
Skews younger.
Yeah.
You guys get it.
Okay. Took a look.
If you have to explain it that much, it's maybe not.
I would say, yeah.
Okay.
There's that point, too.
I'm only saying this because I care about your image. The funny that you think you are making is not the funny that is being communicated to us.
Hillary Duff has announced she's got a new CD on the way. Okay. The new project is called Dignity.
Dignity.
And she said it's so personal and talks about so many experiences she's had, good ones and bad ones. And dignity is something she always hopes to have and strives to have.
Okay.
That's before she did Material Girls with her sister, I think, and then dignity went out the window. So, gossip columnist already saying that she's taking to take a shot at her ex's less than dignified new squeeze, Nicole Richie, on the CD. Apparently she takes a slam at her, which is pretty cool. So, we'll have to wait and see if there's a new catfight between Hillary Duff and Nicole Richie sometime soon.
Can only hope.
And this weekend's hot movies at the box office. Epic movie, number one at the box office, $19.2 million. Smokin' Aces is also a brand new film this weekend, made $14.2 million, good enough to keep it at the number two slot. Night at the Museum was third. Catch and Release was number four. Stomp the Yard was five. Dreamgirls came in at number six. Then Pursuit of Happiness, Pan's Labyrinth, The Queen, and The Hitcher, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend.
It's been a long time since there's been a number one movie at the box office that I can't name a single actor in.
Epic movie?
Yeah.
Well, it's got Kumar, right?
It's got Kumar.
Oh, is he in that?
Yeah,
Kumar is?
Kumar's
all
in
right.
That.
Still alive after 24.
We don't know the actor's name, but we know he was Kumar.
Cal Penn.
That's close. Cal Penn, there you go. Last night, the SAG Awards were given out.
All right. We have a winner, believe it or not.
Hey, now see, that almost ties in.
All right.
Because there were awards and there were winners.
I forgot to try again.
There you go. Forrest Whitaker once again picked up an award for his performance as Idi Amin in The Last King of Scotland. Helen Mirren won for her performance as Queen Elizabeth in The Queen. Eddie Murphy and Jennifer Hudson both won the supporting actor and actress roles, awards rather, for their roles in Dreamgirls. Little Miss Sunshine was named the best ensemble cast in a motion picture. Meanwhile, best ensemble cast in a drama went to Grey's Anatomy. Comedy TV series cast went to The Office. And Alec Baldwin won for best comic actor for 30 Rock, America Ferrera for Ugly Betty. Chandra Wilson won for Best Dramatic Actress for her role in Grey's Anatomy. And Hugh Laurie, my boy, won for House for Best Actor in a Dramatic Series. Today's celebrity birthdays, Heather Graham.
Oh.
So good in Bowfinger, where she plays a thinly veiled Anne Heche. Which is funny because Steve Martin used to date her, so he takes a couple jabs at her in that very funny movie. 37 years old today. Ed Burns turns 39. Tom Selleck is 62 years old today. And Oprah Winfrey turns 53 years old today. I'm sure she's celebrating on her vast estate someplace.
Having, sure.
She's probably riding around on
two horses.
On men. They settle up men and just ride them around and just, she whips them and makes them eat hay from her hand or something. Something.
That's
like
exactly
that.
What happens.
That's what's happening right now as we speak.
What do you think Stedman's life is really like? Do you think they just pay him a bunch of money just to stay out of the press and just shut up?
Oh, no. He's just chained in a dungeon somewhere down in the wine cellar. They just keep him locked up.
He's in one of the horse stalls.
She pulls him out for special events. That's it.
like for red carpets and stuff, Stedman, I need you to walk with me and right. shut up. And then yeah. the rest of the time, I just need you to stay out of sight.
And I think he's got a collar around his neck with C4 on it or something. That if he gets beyond a certain range from her, she's got a little transceiver that his head just blows right off the top of his shoulders.
I wouldn't doubt that. Far.
That's how she keeps him in line. Because he's got that scared look in his face the whole time.
Oh. He sure does.
Yeah, he needs Jack Bauer to step in and rescue him somehow. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Talk about that another time. Pets having middle names. Well, that's just stupid.
I'm just saying.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 9 o'clock.
I wish our old friend Carl Malone were here right now, because how often do you see a story in the news that involves eating squirrels? I mean, he's the king of love and eat the squirrels. And I've never had a squirrel before, but I guess there are some places and some people in this country where it's not uncommon to have a little piece of squirrel meat.
Yeah, squirrels don't sound like they're good food to me.
No, they don't. They look like they'd be tough. I don't know. There's just they don't. You don't look at them and go, ooh, like a rabbit, you know, looks like it might be juicy and delicious. Squirrel, I don't get that same vibe from.
Yeah. Well, in New Jersey, they're having problems because they have a, what is it, a nuclear reactor there? What do they have? Some kind of
a toxic waste dump.
They have a toxic waste dump there, and people are getting sick because they're eating too much squirrel that has ingested the toxic waste.
Yeah, I think the squirrels are contaminated with lead or something, and they put out a bulletin. This is a legit news story. This isn't Weekly World News. They put out a bulletin that says you should limit the amount of squirrel meat that you eat, because I guess you can eat one and it won't hurt you, but you eat too much, and then all of a sudden you're getting dangerous levels of toxins in your body.
Right. They have specific levels that they're putting out for the people there. They say children should not eat more than once a month. So that's kind of a limit for kids. Pregnant women can't eat squirrel more than twice a month, and other adults not more than twice a week.
I don't picture New Jersey as being a state where they're going through a lot of squirrel. I mean, don't they have actual restaurants that serve like hamburgers and stuff in New Jersey?
I don't know, but they wouldn't be making this law, these rules, if there weren't people eating squirrel.
Are these people who are going out and catching and killing their own? I mean, or do you buy squirrel meat in the supermarket in New Jersey? I mean, I have many questions about this story.
I don't know. So we're going to dial. We're going to call a few places in New Jersey and just see if we can find out. Let's try the pub first. That's always good.
Want a little dialing music while we...
Yes, please.
New Jersey just strikes me as, fairly urban. High population.
Dirty.
Certain level of sophistication. Bad
no,
hair.
There's no sophistication in New Jersey.
I think so.
It's the armpit of America.
So. Yeah, but it's not like we're calling Alabama or something. You know what I mean?
No, it's a different kind of bad.
Hello, Gaffers.
Hello, is this Gaffers?
Yes.
Hi there, it's Kevin and Bean. We're on the radio here in California. How are you?
I'm good.
Is this Nancy?
Yes.
Oh, Nancy, we're reading stories here in the press that we find a little disturbing, and that's that there's a lot of people eating squirrels in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
You heard about that. You heard about this story where they issued the warning that said don't eat too much squirrel meat because it could be contaminated from the dump. What's that all about, Nance?
I don't know. I didn't hear that.
No, you didn't hear it?
No.
Okay, so have you eaten squirrel?
No, I never.
Do you have any friends that eat squirrel?
No, I don't think so.
Because they're putting out rules for, like, children and how much they should have, and pregnant women and regular adults. I mean, they're putting out, like, guidelines for how much squirrel to eat.
Really? I didn't know you could eat squirrel.
Well, okay, well, good. That's good to hear.
So you don't know anybody and haven't heard about anybody eating squirrel in the state of New Jersey in 2007?
No. Deb, have you ever eaten squirrel? No, never.
Deb hasn't eaten any either. Okay.
All right, Nance. Well, hey, have you ever eaten a beaver?
No, not those either.
Okay. All right. Hey, thank you for talking to us.
I know.
I had to ask. I mean, come on.
Let's try Dunkin' Donuts, see if they'll...
This is the Bergen Record, Bergen, New Jersey, big town, reputable newspaper. They're the ones who did the story. Squirrels contaminated with lead, found near toxic waste dumps.
It's not bad enough you're living in New Jersey. You're living next to a toxic waste dump. By the way, opening Coachella. Hi there. Is this the Dunkin' Donuts?
Yes.
Hi, it's Kevin and Bean. We're on the radio in Southern California. How are you this morning, ma'am?
Good.
We're reading a news story here that's a little disturbing about people eating squirrels. Have you heard about this?
No.
You haven't heard anything about people eating squirrels and put out guidelines?
Mm-mm.
Why is this story so big here, yet in New Jersey, the place where they could use the information, it's not getting out? Okay. I guess I'm asking you that, Kevin. Ma'am, have you ever eaten squirrel?
No.
Do you have squirrel donuts?
One second.
One second.
Have you ever eaten a beaver?
Yeah, this isn't working.
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
Not that she's not worth waiting for, but let's move on.
All right. Try maybe one more. Let's try one more.
Try Starbucks.
My dad had a pet squirrel as a kid.
Right. Did he eat it?
Squirrel went in and out of the house and went places with him and stuff like that. Was very affectionate. No, he didn't eat him because it was a pet.
He was doing that before it was fashionable.
Thank you for calling Starbucks South Orange. Christine speaking. How can I help you?
Hi, Christine. It's Kevin and Bean. We're calling from K-Rock Radio in Southern California. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Very good. We're reading news stories here that there are people in New Jersey eating too many squirrels that are contaminated. Please tell me you've heard about this.
No, I have not.
There's some kind of a toxic dump. And the squirrels are getting lead in them, and then they're telling kids, oop, can't have too many squirrels, kids. You got to limit it. And that seemed weird to us because no one here eats squirrels that we know of.
I can't say that I do either.
Do you know of anybody else who eats squirrels?
No, I do not.
Huh.
Huh. It's so weird that that it would be a big enough problem and have enough people, you know, eating squirrels that they would feel the need to publish these guidelines, yet we can't talk to anybody in New Jersey who knows anyone who's eaten squirrels. There's some sort of a weird disconnect going on here.
I don't know. I'm not really from New Jersey, so I wouldn't really know.
No, but you're in New Jersey, aren't you?
Currently, yes.
Yeah, okay, but no one you know is eating squirrel then, so this warning is probably unnecessary for your crowd then.
Yeah.
Nobody comes in and orders a tall squirrel latte or anything like that. Nothing.
No, not usually.
Okay. Okay. Not happening then. Okay.
You ever eat a beaver?
No, I have not.
No.
Okay. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's all we cared about.
That's all I cared about. That's true.
It is time for Kevin and Bean's What a New Nephew. And you can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize.
Lightning gave away a pair of Pennywise tickets at Santa Anita this weekend.
Yeah.
You know what he had people
what
do
What did
for?
He make them do?
He made them eat dirt. No, worse. He made him eat those honey and oat granola bars of yours.
Oh,
the
my
ones that
God,
dried out your mouth forever?
They didn't dry out my mouth. They dried out my entire body.
Yeah.
And made my body into beef jerky.
People had to eat eight of them.
That's the driest food ever.
But he took two at a time and smothered them with mayonnaise. That was the hilarious
good
eating
times.
Comedy there at Santa Anita for Pennywise tickets.
So why does he do that to people?
Because it's funny.
More or less.
Kind
all right,
of.
Here's what you get for being on the air, and you don't even have to eat bad stuff. It's a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of Los Angeles, it says here, guys. Right now, you buy a day and get 2007 free with no blackout dates when you bring in any can of Coca-Cola at Universal Studios Hollywood.
All right, let's begin with Matthew, who is calling from Costa Mesa. Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Good. What to do, nephew?
I used to live out in South Carolina when you guys are talking about eating squirrel.
Yeah.
And they used to make squirrel jerky out there.
Oh, squirrel jerky. But that's bite-sized.
It was pretty good.
So squirrels
in
certain states are just considered food like chicken, right?
Look, in the South, I don't put anything past them eating, you know? But Jersey, that's, you know, it's East Coast. It's a little more metropolitan.
Yeah, but it's Jersey at the same time.
Yeah, but you don't think they're like
Jersey
Kentucky
clothes.
Eating possum and...
Do they serve like squirrel in restaurants and stuff like that, or just the jerky?
No, it was just, I had a backyard friend, you know, he just made squirrel jerky, he used to shoot it in just his backyard and cook it in his microwave.
Yeah, what could go wrong with that?
Squirrel stick.
Okay, thanks for calling. All right.
There are a lot of foods that some people eat that other people have never tried. I mean, like deer is a perfect example of something that is huge in, you know, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, they all eat deer up there. But how often do you have deer in L.A.? Almost never.
Never, yeah. Never, ever. Kelly in Los Angeles, good morning.
Good morning.
What a do, baby boo?
What a do, nephew?
What's going on?
Okay, I'm a hostess at a restaurant. And
which restaurant?
I really can't say.
Hooters? Is it Hooters?
It's a Chinese restaurant.
Wang Chang? Wang Chang? What's
it? Hoodles?
What's that one on Beverly? Oh, I can't remember. Right, go ahead.
But I was noticing this family sitting at the bar, and there was this father and son, and they were really close, like really affectionate. And then the father started making out with his son.
Oh, no. Wait a minute.
How do you know they were father and son?
Okay, they were family, and the mother was pretty intoxicated and everything, and... The son was, like, mentally disabled or something.
Oh, no.
Will you stop telling the story right away, please?
I thought we had bottomed out when you started the story. Now you're still going further deeper.
Really? Are you sure Crispin Glover wasn't just filming a new movie? I mean, seriously, father kissing his mentally disabled son? You're telling me you saw that with your own eyes?
I did. I'm okay, like, wait. I have two or three other witnesses.
That what, was he kissing him on the top of the head?
No. He was kissing him on his neck and kissing him on his face. And I don't remember if they went to the lips, though.
Well, that's an important distinction. I mean, it is.
Especially if he's mentally disabled, he could just be affectionate towards him like the way you would a little child, a small child.
I swear, I thought it was kind of like one of those, you know, shows, like hidden camera shows. Like, I swear, somebody's going to pop out and say, why didn't you respond or something?
Yeah, they're going to make fun of you for just watching and not doing anything?
So it would be better if it was like an older gay dude with a young guy, but the mentally disabled part just sort of destroys every scenario I could explain this away with.
All of a sudden, there's nothing funny.
It really isn't.
What restaurant? So it was just a guy and his wife and their kid.
Yeah.
Did the guy, was he ever loving toward his wife?
No.
No.
This is all presumption that they're a family, though, by the way.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to call child services or something, but then I'm going to get in trouble because they're an affectionate family, so.
Yeah.
It does sound sketchy, but thank you for the call, Kelly. This is exactly what we look for when we swing the phones wide open here.
Did you see Extras last night with Ricky Gervais?
I didn't see it yet. No, I saw last week's. That's a great show.
He's in this high-end restaurant, and there's a woman and her son there, and the kid keeps making noise, and so he complains to the management because he's an expensive restaurant, and it turns out the kid is has Down syndrome.
and
he can't tell that from the because the kid's looking at has his back towards him,
right?
So he's telling off the woman and says, "Well, you know, it's your fault. You decided to have him and all this stuff without recognizing that the kid had a disability." Yeah, it was very funny.
That show Extras is fantastic. It's on HBO.
Yeah, right. 7 o'clock on Sunday night.
So good. All right, let's go to Alex in Northridge. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, good morning. What it do?
What it do? Blah. Hey. What it do, Count Dracula?
How are you?
I'm doing good.
What's going on?
Hey, I hate the Clippers too, you know, and I think we really need to hear the Mudbutt Mafia song more than the
Please no.
You know?
Please no.
Please don't.
That's the first positive response we've gotten.
We need to put it in the Hall of Fame.
Well, yeah, I think
put it in a time capsule. Let's put it in a time capsule and bury it.
Listen to it again.
So it can be opened after our death.
Right. Future generations can enjoy it.
Look, somebody had to stand up to these goddamn Clipper fans. That's all I'm saying. You might not have liked it, but I had to stand up and say no. Enough is enough.
Let's hear the song.
No.
But, Kevin, you should have said no at another point in the thought process, which is when you went to record that song.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a rapper per se.
Right.
Yeah, you can go to krock.com. It's at the Kevin and Bean front page.
When is Lightning going to make a song?
Well, hopefully never. Here's just, for those of you who didn't hear, here's the beginning of how it worked out.
Sit down.
The Lakers win.
No.
Cue it up. Cue it up.
Oh, God.
God, I hate you. I'm going to freaking... No, that one right there.
Now what...
This is how it started. When should I come in? Yeah, it was a long day yesterday, just for that, too.
Yeah.
Not worth it. Rennell in Los Angeles.
What do you do, nephew?
What do you do?
I hope Omar's sitting down. There's a new Tim Allen movie.
What? Another new Tim Allen movie?
Yes, with John Travolta, Martin Lawrence, and William H. Macy.
Yeah, I've seen the
one where there's the motorcycle riders.
The motorcycle gang.
Road dogs or road hogs or something.
Wild hogs, I think.
What is it?
Wild hogs.
Wild hogs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the poster for it yesterday, and I thought, no, that has to be a parody.
It's City Slickers with motorcycles, basically. Is what
right,
it is.
Yeah, exactly.
I was shocked. I was watching.
Oh, so they're old friends. They get together to take a motorcycle.
They're suburban dads who decide to start their own biker gang kind of deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hilarity ensues. They run into real biker gangs and accidentally burn down a restaurant and the whole deal.
Oh, is it going to be funny?
When does it come out? Right,
I think March the 2nd.
How does... Well, I asked, and then I thought, what a dumb question. How would he know?
He knows.
Are you a Tim Allen fan?
No.
Okay. Just checking. Thank you.
This is Tim Allen for Kevin.
Uh-oh. Tim Allen, John Travolta, Martin Lawrence.
Yeah.
There's the triumvirate. And then you got William H. Macy.
How did William H. Macy get roped into that project?
That's just a mortgage payment right there.
Sean in Cyprus. Hi.
Hey, what a do, nephew?
What a do.
All right. I just driving down the street. I just saw a billboard for the Mel Brooks, the Producers musical in Las Vegas.
Right.
And guess who's starring? Mother effing David Hasselhoff.
The Hoff, yeah.
Pass the Hoff.
Yeah, we talked about this when it was announced. He's playing the director, the effeminate gay director in the piece.
Okay. I thought that was going to come and go. I mean, I thought that was a joke, and it was name recognition for about two nights' worth of sales. And then that's it.
He's going to do it in Vegas for a while.
What in God's name's going on? How does that guy have such an amazing career?
He's the Hoff.
That's what I'm saying. That's my point, for God's sakes. All right, let's go to Napalm, our intern.
Napalm's calling in?
From Torrance. Hey, Napalm.
What'd it do?
What's happening? What's up, Napy?
Not much. I was just at the Bone Thugs concert in San Pedro on Friday.
Yeah.
And
you don't strike us as a Bone Thugs kind of guy.
Wait, was Harmony not there?
What's up?
Was Harmony not there? It was just Bone Thugs?
Dude, none of them were there. It's there was a straight up riot right before they came on.
Wow.
And I got downstairs and there's SWAT police there with all these Mexicans saying F the police and throwing stuff at the theater. And then they started beating up on some guy in a wheelchair.
Wait a minute. Who started beating up on some kid in a wheelchair?
It was crazy. There was like three guys on this guy in a wheelchair.
And then their dad started making out with him?
Something like that.
So Napalm, so they never even came on stage?
No.
Did you at least stab someone?
I tried. I started to run, though.
Oh, see? That's what happens when you put a kid in charge of a knife.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call. Napalm's here like 4 days a week, I think.
Yeah, Napalm's the hardest working intern in show business.
He is, and yet still calls.
He misses us and calls in, but he knows he can't win the prize, right?
I was at Bone Thugs, and he's just calling up so he can say that.
The dude in the wheelchair. I guess you want to get rid of the getaway vehicle first.
It's not much of a getaway vehicle.
Well, you know, every little bit helps.
I want to thank our pal Bam Margera for being on the program today. His new show is called Bam's Unholy Union. It looks fantastic. It's all about he and his long-suffering fiancée, Missy. Apparently, they're getting married next month, and we can see the whole process from the time he proposes on forward. That's tomorrow night at 9:30 on MTV.
Bam, going to be a good show?
I'm going to frost my wedding cake with Wee Man's special sauce.
All right, thank you.
Keep getting better.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, Bean is going to have a podcast, and we need an intervention.
Will it ever end?
So we need an intervention. It's going to happen tomorrow.
We just lived through the blog era.
Yes, we did.
Blogs are so 2006, though, Ralph. Now podcasts are where it's at.
He's a fag. And what's going to be in your... Well, we'll wait till tomorrow. Are you going to play music?
We'll wait till tomorrow.
Lord keep visiting these plagues upon us?
He's a homo.
We're also, by the way, this is Ralph Hatred Day. Everything we're doing, except for Harvey Levin tomorrow.
I love Harvey.
You hate. Harvey Levin tomorrow, the hammer. We got him.
Love Harvey.
He's the best. And then we got to talk about Psycho Mike, who is twisted in a completely different way. And has a MySpace page for his stupid little yappy dog.
Oh, Jesus.
A MySpace page for his dog.
What is wrong with the world?
And his dog has a middle name.
Of course
she does. By the way.
Of course she does.
Oh, a MySpace page. So we're going to have to talk to pet parents tomorrow, and I know how much you hate that, but we got to talk to people who have set up MySpace pages for their animals.
Hey, Mike, does Lola have friends on her MySpace page that are also dogs?
Yeah, she has. Actually, it's about 50-50 of canine and human friends Lola's profile.
I can't even get my dog to send email. How do you get your dog to run a MySpace page?
Dude, you know, I run a tight ship back at the Catholic household.
Please.
I guess so.
So anyway, we're going to have to deal with that tomorrow as well. Maybe we need two interventions. This is going to be a painful day tomorrow.
It will.
But lay down some laws. And people who eat weird items also tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show. And don't forget the K-Rock World Tour 2007, destination number 5, The Killers in Amsterdam. You get on the standby boarding list by scoring tickets to see The Killers when they play Staples Center April 9th. And Friday morning, we'll do the grand prize drawing.
Skin and Bones is the latest from Foo Fighters. Also some Guns N' Roses, AFI, The Sick Puppies, their new one called All the Same, Nirvana, Muse, Green Day, and more. It's all part of 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock right after this with Kat Corbin on the world-famous K-Rock.